two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's a Monday. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Hey, Scott, how was your weekend, dude?
My weekend was amazing.
Was it?
Yeah, I didn't do a darn thing.
That's actually the best kind of weekend.
I love those weekends.
I find myself playing way too much golf nowadays, and I'm not good. And so but I just keep doing it now, and I keep spending more and more time on the golf course and more money. And I'm still not getting any better. But now I have this bug of I'm golfing more now than I ever have, which is a bad thing.
It's about that time in your life when you catch that,
which is,
you know, 40, 35,
and you
40.
Go, hey, I'm, and then they're like, oh, great. So you're getting better then after you played those 10 rounds of golf last month. You go, no, actually I've somehow gotten worse, but boy, I'm spending the money on it. There
so
you go.
I played with a group of guys and they just looked at me and just said, wait till you get to 50.
Oh.
Magically 50 hits and things just change.
Like you get better?
No, like your body hurts.
Shoot.
Body starts to hurt.
I was looking forward to whatever you're going to tell me. You're like, wait till you're 50. You'll be better then. You'll be good then.
No, you're not going to be any
no.
better.
No.
You're just going to hurt.
Great.
And I'm like, no, not me.
Oh, my goodness.
They cursed me is what they did. 50 came and then two knee surgeries and my back. Just.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yep.
But see, I didn't do all that professional athlete stuff.
Neither did they.
Oh.
These were former professional athletes.
Oh, no.
These were former professionals.
Listen.
AT&T.
Oh, see, that's the thing is, but they had a lot of money then. See, that's good. See, I can't spend all that money and all that time to start hurting that much. So I can't afford to hurt that much, Scott. That's
yeah, don't start taking lessons.
Here's the deal. We got a lot going on this week. In 3 days, on the 30th of June, we hit, during the middle of our show, we're going to hit NBA free agency. Not Scott and I. We don't have any deals that we're going to be making. But the Jazz, of course, are going to be possibly making some moves. And we're crossing our fingers that a bunch of stuff's going to be happening this week. So we'll kind of walk you up all week to kind of get into what the space the Jazz might be in. Because now with the draft over, you're going to see teams with maybe a couple of other options they could throw at the Jazz. The possibility of maybe a big name walking out the door. Certainly there are going to be changes made to this this Jazz roster. So we're going to keep our eyes on it every day this week. If anything's going on, if more rumors are going to be churning, we're going to be on top of it. We're going to be able to talk about all those things. So NBA free agency starts up June 30th. Is there going to be a coaching change? Do they just have the coaching stuff on the back burner? That's where we're going to start things here. It is Unrivaled's The Cut right here at the top of the program. Let's jump to it.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut, as usual, brought to you by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utah Trust. Visit uofuhealth.org for more information. uofuhealth.org, proud sponsors of the cut. Free agency starting the 30th of June, Scott. When all that goes down, there are a couple things going on here. If you're a player who's out there somewhere, I guess it doesn't matter. The coaching thing doesn't really matter, does it? Does it matter? Right. I'm just saying right now they don't have to have a coach on the bench for you to be able to feel like – I think in a lot of cases, players look and they just – look, you just go where you end up getting traded to. And whatever ends up being the team situation by the end of the summer, that's where you're at.
I think the coach matters massively.
Yeah, but it does, but if a team acquires you, it doesn't matter at that moment. Danny Ainge, what is the biggest priority for Danny Ainge right now? Is it making this roster work? Is it making this roster, like, taking a ton of shots in the offseason here? Because in 3 days, you're going to see free agency start up, and I would assume the Jazz want to get in on the ground floor because they have a ton of changes to make. So they're probably going to make a lot of those changes. I don't know if it's going to be like right when free agency happens, names are going to be on contracts and signed. But
I have a theory.
Tell me which one you'd rather see happen or which one that the team would be more prone to be making, because I'm assuming it's going to be the players and then the coach.
So I have a theory about what's gone on with the Jazz, mm-hmm. and what is actually going on.
Is it conspiracy theory stuff?
Or, well, it's like... my opinion.
Okay.
But it's my opinion based on just observing and watching kind of who, you know, just kind of how things have happened. Okay. I think this is Donovan Mitchell's basketball team. Above anything else, I think this is Donovan Mitchell's basketball team.
Okay.
I think it's that because he's a lot like Dwayne Wade in his stature. He probably relates a lot to him. I think the Jazz, you know, hierarchy said, how do we build this team? And we don't want to just, like, burn the house down. So what talent are we going to keep and what talent are we going to get rid of? And I think there's been a lot of discussion about that this is Donovan Mitchell's team. And I really think it is. And quite frankly, I think all of the smoke we heard about Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, I think it was true. I actually think Donovan Mitchell is the guy who probably feels – I don't think Donovan likes Rudy. I really don't.
No, I mean –
And again, this is my opinion, just based upon what I've watched.
And I don't think we'll ever really know, maybe till they totally break up the team. But maybe we'll know in a couple of weeks.
We'll never know. Okay. Then I think Quinn Snyder said, I don't want to get into rebuild. I like Rudy. I like the makeup of our team. I like kind of the direction of where it is. It's kind of one of those coaches where they go, all right, if you want to stay, then you're going to have to get rid of everybody. And a lot of these coaches go, no, thank you. I'll just bow out. And they probably said, well, here, because we're going to blow this thing up. We're going to try to move Rudy. We're going to do all these things. We're going to rebuild in a different way.
Maybe those two superstars leave, or maybe one of the two superstars leave, but it's not just that. There's going to be a lot of movement on the roster. So it's all right?
Again, I think this is Donovan Mitchell's team. I think he's the young guy. I think he's the guy with the most upside, the guy with the most potential, the guy who can play the most in today's NBA game.
Do you think he deserves that? Like that he gets saddled with that? Do you think he wants that responsibility? Like, hey, this is my team, kind of.
There's
a deal?
It has to be someone's team. Like, you have to have a guy, and you can't just have.
That's interesting.
You just can't have nobody, right?
So who's it been? Whose team has it been then?
Well, I think it's been Donovan's. But I think Rudy kind of has interjected himself in some very uncomfortable and awkward ways. I think Rudy is good in a situation, but I agree with a lot of people where for the amount of money that he's costing, I don't know that there's that value. Because there's no offense in Rudy Gobert. He can't create his own offense. He has to be part of pick and roll. All of his shots are right at the basket.
Sure.
Which isn't necessarily all bad, but it's just, you know, is that going to be the core foundational part of your team? I don't think it's where Danny Ainge wants to go. I think Danny Ainge can get a lot more probably similar production, maybe not as good, but not have to pay through the roof for someone. You know, there are players out there that I think that the Jazz could pick up that could do a lot of similar defending. Because I don't think you have to be that tall to defend. I think you have to be lanky, and I think you have to defend multiple positions. I think small ball is what the NBA is probably ultimately going to.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that that's the case. I think that you still have guys who are tall, lengthy, and they call them small ball because there's not a real there's not a version of what used
small
to be
ball,
that five
right.
that big center.
You don't park a guy under the basket.
There's
anymore.
No such thing. Even if they are super tall, even right. if they have a because the Jazz
7-footer.
But plus. See, that's what I'm saying is yeah. that the Jazz being as small that they are in the backcourt, like Mike Conley, I don't see a Mike Conley. And I guess in this sense, I agree with like David Locke and who said, look, that's a really, really small backcourt.
Right.
It's a small backcourt.
Yes.
And it
kills
and
the
not,
Jazz.
Right. And they're not
kills
like,
them.
They're not first team all defensive NBA. No. If that were the case, then you go, who cares? Keep them. I mean, that's a. But
if Donovan and Mike Conley were these just super quick guys that just were pesky and, you know, how a smaller guard typically plays.
Right. As good a defender as they were, you know, playing offense. That we wouldn't be saying any of this, but I think that in the end, everybody sees what defensively is going on in the NBA, which is you better be one of the best defensive teams. Kind of you have to compete on the defensive end like never before in the NBA. Defense has always been one of those things that has been massively underrated. It's the thing that separates the college game more than anything, probably from the pro game, right? Where you look at guys and go, "Holy cow, they play defense in the NBA, and they play defense the entire friggin' game."
I'm sure that Danny Ainge said, "Look at the Boston Celtics, look at the Miami Heat, look at the Milwaukee Bucks, look at Memphis, look at Minnesota, look at Golden State, look at you know when they're healthy, look at the Clippers, look at Phoenix." All these teams are just they're what you're just describing there, and the Jazz don't have that look. So when you ask me the question about when should the coach be here and at what time, because in the NFL, the coach and the system is everything. Like, it's everything. Like if you're Drew Brees and you're not with Sean Payton,
and you don't have the success that you do.
You're not going to have, you know, I mean, you can go through any one of these guys. Old school Steve Young stays with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's not a Hall of Famer. He's just not. He might end up being a guy like Vinny Testaverde, who was super talented, but just never
That's not as big of a thing though in the NBA. I feel like a quote unquote system that a guy has.
No, so what's most important?
Just talent.
Is your guy. That's why I think this is Donovan Mitchell's team. So the coach is really going to have to say, okay, how do you make Donovan Mitchell a superstar? How do you make him the core of this team? And if the answer is, well, he's got to have his Robin to his Batman, and maybe it's the other way around. Maybe they need a Batman and he's the Robin. You know, I don't know, but there needs to be that other guy. There needs to be another prolific scorer. And you look at these really good guys like Tatum, and you look at Doncic, and they're bigger guys,
right?
And what does that matter? Because you see them, they always can get a shot off, and Donovan Mitchell has to blow by a guy. You have to hope that he's on shooting three pointers. He's not a guy that just can find that shot. Chris Paul can always find a shot, right? He can always find that kind of right around the key. And he's a master at it. And there's so many guys. And Donovan Mitchell, I think that's the lacking part to me in his game. So if the coach comes in, it's just someone who says, how do we build around Donovan Mitchell and what are the pieces that look? And that's really what my opinion of the Utah Jazz is, where they're going to go, how it's going to impact free agency. And I think Gobert, if there's a possibility to move Gobert, that's the thing that might give them some more of the pieces that they're looking for to kind of fit where I think they want to go.
So the Jazz have a couple of days to kind of keep looking out there. Is this going to be one of those insane deals where it's like a three-team trade and it's a total mess? You know, like when they, you know, when they have those 3 and 4 team trades and you go, oh my gosh, how did, okay, don't, I don't care where, I don't care what's going on here. Who did the Jazz get for all this stuff? Because there are going to be some insane deals, I think, made out there to be able to move a piece like Rudy Gobert, who has so much money attached to him. And whether or not, I hate the argument of, oh, he's paid way too much. I'm always like, they paid him exactly what he was probably worth at the exact moment that he, yeah, he got a max deal because that was what was triggered by the whole, you know, his success that he's been having over the last few years.
Yeah, and he got a max deal because the Jazz were built around how Rudy was a big part of how they played.
Right, and I don't know. When somebody looks and goes, oh, it would be so much better if the Jazz had DeAndre Ayton. And you go, well, would it really? Or a guy, I mean, you look around the league and go, no, look, it was Clint Capella, okay. Look at DeAndre Ayton.
If it's DeAndre Ayton and the Utah Jazz as they're presently constituted, no, it wouldn't be good. I mean, maybe they're better defending small ball, but they have other issues beyond, you know, like you were talking about. This small backcourt does not work in the NBA with how Connolly and Mitchell are. They're not big guys. They're not lengthy guys. They're not great defenders. So no, that's not going to work. But I think DeAndre Ayton type of player, a Clint Capella type of player, works if the Jazz make a move and they get some lankier defenders.
I've totally been buying into over the weekend. Just I've jumped into this idea of, okay, the Jazz didn't get anybody in the draft. That was disappointing to so many people. I think that having movement for the sake of movement on draft night, like there were people that whatever would have happened, they would have felt okay about it. Like if they would have just made a move to get like maybe the 23rd pick, you know, they move some pieces around and you see maybe a biggish name leave. And people are just wanting to see change for change's sake, I think, right? Because this team doesn't feel like it's one that could actually get to the promised land. But I don't know how far you have to go. I don't know how long you have to wait. The Suns right now, I look at the Suns, right? Because the Jazz, they've been compared to the Suns a lot because just the regional, it's the same reason you get kind of grouped in together with Denver because it's just like these are teams that are in similar areas. And in the Phoenix Suns case, I think people look at them and go, oh man, they were the number one seed this last year. They go out in the second round. That was the Jazz the year before. And the Suns right now are in a little bit of a panic mode because they have a disgruntled center. They have a team that their whole thing is, are they going to keep the core together? Do you keep DeAndre Ayton and keep this core together? But it sounds like there might be some, there sounds like there's a lot of turmoil there in Phoenix, which I love, right? Anytime other teams are having turmoil, takes the pressure off of your team. So when the Suns, Scott, are having turmoil, I go, oh, that feels good. Good. I want them to have some turmoil. I want them to be trying to scratch their head and figure out what they're going to do in free agency. I want them to be a step further away than they were last year. And I think that they are just by virtue of getting out early in the playoffs and then everybody looking around and going, hey, DeAndre Ayton doesn't want to be here. So can they add a bunch of more pieces? I don't know. And in the Jazz case, their pieces are going to be moved around. There are many more guys who are going to be gone in this offseason than you're used to seeing with the Jazz typically. I mean, you're just going to see a massive amount of movement, I think, after June 30th. The coach part to me, and we'll ask Gordy Chiesa about this when he joins us in 15 minutes or so, but having a coach is important, but the personnel on the roster is the most important part. And then you get the coach, you go in and go, these are the guys you're going to be working with. And if it's a young coach, even better, because then they go, okay, I have all of these guys and I'm going to establish myself and the quote-unquote system that I'm in, whether it's a guy who comes down that Greg Popovich coaching tree, whether it's somebody coming down the Doc Rivers coaching tree, whatever. I want to see one of these guys come in and just go, what do you got with these people that we just got for you in this offseason?
See, I think that the Jazz, by what they did do in the draft, tells you what they're looking for. So in the free agents that they picked up or who they actually picked up and signed, regardless of where they signed them, because mm-hmm. going back to your comment about, you know, I think people wanted the Jazz to do something in the draft just to do something. And the Jazz are like, they probably just felt like there was nobody there that meant enough to them to be draftable.
Right.
So they took a flyer and you get, what do you get? You get a lengthier guard, 6'7". You get someone that's taller. You get someone that can create their own offense.
Has a little bit of name buzz as well, which
has
is
some,
nice.
Right, and has some potential. I mean, this, you know.
Johnny Juzang, to me, like, I honestly, he was one of those guys that I hated when he was playing in the tournament last year. during his college career. I mean, he's a feisty dude. And then he gets signed here, and then I go, oh, I kind of like that guy. Well, right? But, that's the kind of thing you go, I hated that guy when he was in college because he was good. He was on a good team. And now.
But my point about him is that you can tell what the Jazz are going to do by the decisions that they make. And the decision they make was to, this is the type of player that we're looking for. And I think that when they go into free agency, and I think when they retool this team, it's those type of players that you're going to see the Jazz coveting and trying to sign and figuring out, you know, okay, if we can get this guy and maybe he pans out, if he doesn't, fine. But that's the type of player we're looking for. And the only way for the Jazz to go anywhere, they're going to have to make some trades. They're going to have to do something in free agents. They're going to have to do something. So
no, they will. And there's going to be a ton. I think you're going to see massive amount of movement.
I just think it's Donovan Mitchell's team, and that's going to dictate everything they do. And I think Gobert's gone. I really do.
If it's Donovan Mitchell's team, that's what I was going to say. Then you might see the end of the Rudy Gobert era here in Utah. How'd you feel? How would you feel about it? Would it be a massively sad situation? This weekend, everybody wishing Rudy Gobert happy birthday, you know, happy 30th. All I looked at and went, oh, he's 30? We got to get rid of that guy. He's kind of getting old. There's that part of me that goes, yeah, maybe this is a good time. DeAndre Ayton's 23, you know, and you go, oh, man, he's young.
You know what was weird for me? Is I woke up this morning, because thinking about all this, and this morning I was thinking about it, and I already had Rudy move.
Just in your head, he's gone.
And I'm just like, okay. Because I was imagining what it's going to be like when Rudy comes back. How's he going to play against the Jazz in the future? That's what I woke up thinking about today.
That is kind of a funny thought. We obsess like over when the guy comes back.
Is he going to be booed when he comes back to Vivint Smart Home Arena?
Well, and is he going to, you know, and is he going to play good against the Jazz?
Is he going to get fired up?
Or is the Jazz going to be like, oh, man, what did we do? We got rid of this guy.
The guy has the biggest chip on his shoulder already. Of course he's going to turn it up against the Jazz. Of course he is. And again, that's me speaking as if he's already gone. But I don't know. I'm a little bit in your boat. We're going to come back and chat with Coach Gordy Chiesa on the way back. He'll give us our signature quiz and our signature list that he brings to the table every week as well. You weekend warriors are also coming up. Welcome to your Monday right here on Unrivaled. It's 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We'll be right back.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Attention. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled. You know what that music means. Coach Gordy Chiesa joins us with this little ditty every week. And, at some point, I want to give you a summer break, but there's so much stuff going on here. What are we supposed to do? I mean, the Jazz haven't hired a coach yet. You're going to see a ton of roster changes probably when free agency starts up here. So, where do we start? Which one interests you the more? Do the Jazz have to get a coach before they make a bunch of roster moves, or is that not really necessary?
No, they need a coach. Absolutely. It should be done this week. And the reason why, if you're a free agent, and remember now, the Jazz only have, as we speak right now, they only have the $6.4 million taxpayer mid-level exception. So they have to use that wisely. Now, they might make trades, which will change that dramatically as far as getting more money. But if I'm a free agent and the money is almost equal and the playing time, I want to know who my coach is to help develop, when I come here, help develop the culture. So that's a huge factor for free agents that have other options who the head coach should be. So hopefully it'll be done this week by a Friday or Saturday.
So the Jazz had no draft picks in the draft. A lot of people thought they might buy a draft pick. They might trade for one. No such luck. However, they did sign a few guys in free agency. What was your take on what the Jazz did and didn't do in the draft the other night?
Well, they're saving the money right now. So they decided that there wasn't anybody there that could help them immediately right now. They didn't want to pay the contract as far as be locked into 3 years that are guaranteed. So with that said, that tells me, though, that they're going to try to make some form of trade or trades to try to help improve their roster and then also free agency. So that's what it tells us right now.
So is it kind of like if you pick a draft pick, it's you're saying we're building for the future. If you're trying to trade in free agency, you're trying to build for right now. Is that
very much? Usually speaking, the NBA draft gets you younger. Free agency and summer trades get you better. Just generally speaking, with LeBron James type talent coming out of high school, Kobe Bryant type talent, those guys are the exceptions. There's always, you know, one or two exceptions, but generally speaking, most kids in the draft, you know, Thursday night, they're young and athletic, but they're raw as far as basketball. We know in the playoffs, this is a man's league. And it's very rare that a young guy can step in and help a team. The last time it happened besides LeBron James was Tim Duncan helped the Spurs literally in 1999 with his sidekick David Robinson that transformed the Spurs from a 20-win season when Robinson got hurt to being NBA champion within 2 years. That was the last time as far as that, with LeBron also being the most recent one.
Who was Batman and Robin Hood in that scenario with Tim Duncan and David Robinson?
Oh, Tim Duncan, number one. Batman, absolutely. Very much.
Can you see, like, David Robinson as a Robin?
Yeah, you know why? Because that was a humble dude.
Yeah.
David Robinson is a humble dude, right, Coach? I mean,
that's right, Alex, and that's why it works. In other words, to win at this level, whether it's the NBA or the NFL, you need other talented teammates around you. Now, the question I always say this to players, how can I showcase my own individual talents and skills but within the team framework where we all benefit from each other's abilities? And that's what it comes down. That's why coaching is so important, that the new head coach of the Jazz, he has to have that skill set to get Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert and all the other trusted sidekicks and floor mates on the same mentality on the floor. And it's a certain skill that you have to have where you have to be demanding but not being demeaning and also be able to connect with the players. It's a fascinating search right now.
So when you look at the way the Jazz have the roster set up now, I mean, what's like the biggest kind of a move you think? I mean, let's throw the Donovan and Rudy thing aside, because I think that you might see one of those guys leave. You might see them both stay. But the cast around them – when you were with the Jazz, how big of moves were made in the offseason that you were like, whoa, that's a lot? Obviously, John and Carl were going to stick around, but what about the rest of the cast around? What was the biggest move you guys made to make the most success during your time coaching?
Well, it was during the 1994, during the trading deadline, where that glorious snowy morning in February when the Jazz traded Jeff Ballone, who was a good player, for Jeff Hornacek. And that made the Jazz into almost world champions and elite. Before the Jazz got Jeff Hornacek, as good as John and Carl were, and quote, the system was, we never had a winning road record. So John and Carl, when they're younger in their career, we didn't win on the road. We got Jeff Hornacek for 6.5 years. We had a winning road record every single year. And the learning point about that is that to be successful in regular season or in the playoffs, you need a third top dog that no matter what happens, if one and two are struggling in that game based on injury or based on the other team's fierce defense, the third person of that elite group can get you to win by 1 or 2 points by the way he plays. And that's so Jazz basketball. Who is that third person? Is it besides Rudy and Donovan Mitchell? Is it Bojan Bogdanovic? Is it Mike Conley? So far, both those guys, as far as being the top third dog, they've been erratic as far as both home and away.
Summer league basketball. What's the value of it? What would the Jazz be trying to get out of that this year with this team?
Summer league basketball is absolutely critical, especially if your name is Jared Butler. And your name is Azubuike, is because the reason why is that you're going to play roughly, the games are only 40 minutes instead of versus being 48 minutes as far as NBA games. So the game is shortened by 8 minutes. But you're going to play roughly probably 31 to 32 to 33 minutes and be the first and second option. So the value of it is that the growth of a player of his own skill set, but also how he plays against other younger guys in his age group. So Jared Butler, for example, when he play, he'll play against other young guys, and in particular, he'll play against lottery picks of last Thursday, especially in the Vegas Summer League, and can he perform against them and outplay them? We're going to find out.
What do you think about the two pickups in free agent, or I guess the undrafted free agents that you pick up after the draft? Sometimes you see these guys work out, and I know that's going to be associated with the list you do. But what do you think about the names of Kofi Cockburn and then Johnny Juzang that the Jazz picked up as the signings there after the draft?
Well, Johnny Juzang, he's a talent. He can score the ball. So I mean, he was a talent from UCLA, and that he will be able to play in a two-way contract for the Jazz and score the ball. The other guy from Illinois is a center. He's developmental. And again, but big guys, it takes much longer to see how they play out. And so it's good. I like both of them as far as their talent and what they do. They're way far away from contributing right now. And the Jazz know that. So both those signings were just long-term right now. The biggest thing right now is Udoka Azubuike, who remember 2 years ago was the 27th pick of the draft. Mm-hmm. He's been injured. He's the guy that the Jazz have to try to fast-track to help them be a winning backup center. And that's the catchword, winning backup center. Oh, by the way, when is it going to happen? Next year or 2 years from now or 3 years from now or never? And that's the beauty of the NBA. You think you know nothing.
That's what we're
talking about.
That's kind of the motto of my
standpoint.
Life.
No, it's
I think
the
I
truth.
I know nothing.
And you know nothing. You think you know. Oh, really? You think you know. Remember, it's called human behavior. I don't care about the metrics, the yardstick, about all the things, even though that's important. We preface this. But you can't judge a person's heart, what's inside them, until there's adversity, whether personal or on the court. And that's when you see players come to the forefront, or unfortunately for some of them, they stay the same or they crumble. And that's the beauty of any sport, especially in the NBA, where it's a fast-paced game that you're asked to play both sides of the ball, offense and defense. In football, it's one side, and that's commendable. In basketball, it's both sides. And you have to be well-versed as far as at least attempting to play defense to be successful. Oh, by the way, also, it's a team sport. So your teammates are all watching you, how you perform, and how you take your craft seriously.
To your point, Gordy, you think of the Jazz a year ago. I mean, I think everyone thought, okay, this is a team that's going to compete for a championship. And now we're probably looking at this team being completely retooled. And then a team like the Phoenix Suns a couple of years ago that were a doormat garbage team have the best record in the NBA. So the point about you think you know and then you don't is so true. And it's really that way in life. It's just like, man, you got to take care and make the most of every moment that you have. All right, I want to ask your gut. I want to know your gut, Gordy. Is Rudy going to be traded?
No.
Oh.
No.
Why?
No. My gut tells me no. And the reason why is that the new head coach, that's his main job, is to try to get him to perform at a higher level and for his teammates to respect his game. See, so much as Rudy, quote, controversy, and if it's a controversy, it should be a lesser word, is that it seems to me that their teammates, his teammates, don't respect what he does well. All I know is this, Scott and Alex, if we had on our team the leading rebounder in the NBA, we'd say what? We are so lucky. Mm-hmm. Yes, no, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That's Rudy Gobert.
One of the best defenders in the history of the league, too. Why not?
And also, by the way, he hustles. You realize he actually plays hard. In other words, he runs the floor in transition, both offense and defense, and he tries to do the right thing and build a wall. And he's a, let's say the opposite, 1 second, is that he's an elite shot blocker and that he does alter shots. What he doesn't do well, and it's a bad optic, he can't finish in traffic against length or even worse than that, against smaller guys. So it's a bad optic. The new head coach is going to spend his all his waking hours to try to work with Rudy to get him to finish in traffic or to finish in length. That's what I call catch high, finish high. Mm-hmm. When you're 7 foot tall, it doesn't matter who's guarding you. Catch high, finish high, and that's a huge factor as far as Rudy's development.
Coach, speaking of, I guess the best version of you don't know, if you think you know, you don't know, is when you guess on these undrafted free agents and who could actually work for you, who doesn't. I know the Jazz, of course, have seen guys like Royce O'Neal, who came out of Baylor and was an undrafted guy. And I think your list has to do with guys who have come in and made an impact after not being drafted in the league. What do you got?
Very much. Also, let's add to that, Joe Ingles, too. Joe Ingles, one of the all-time right. best Jazz players, was not drafted via Australia. But his list today is a dozen of the best playing underrated players this past season. So just currently, the 21-22 season. By the way, these guys listed below, they never were invited to the draft party. However, Scott Mitchell, they become party crashers.
All right.
Love the party crasher.
Love it.
That's exactly right. I said purposely Scott. I didn't say Alex, because I know Alex is a little shaky. Alex is shaky.
No. I thought I was I'm the more responsible one of the group? Is that what it is? Like, I'm the guy. Scott's the party crasher. I'm the guy who stays home and doesn't want to ruin people's party. It's good.
No doubt. All right, number 12, Ish Smith, Wizards, not drafted. Number 11, Royce O'Neal, Jazz, not drafted. Number 10, Alex Caruso, Bulls, not drafted. Number 9, Gabe Vincent of the Heat, who played well in the playoffs, not drafted. Number 8, played against the Jazz from the Dallas Mavericks, Maxi Kleber, not drafted. Number 7, Christian Wood from the Rockets, now on the Mavericks, not drafted. Number 6, from the Heat, Dwayne Dedmon, not drafted. Number 5, from the Pacers, T.J. McConnell, not drafted. Number 4, again, the Mavericks versus the Jazz about two months ago, Dorian Finney-Smith, not drafted.
That's right.
It's hard to believe. I agree with you. Number 3, we all saw him front and center. This guy got cut 5 times by the NBA, not drafted, was in the G League of the Rio Grande Valley Vipers. I love saying that. We all saw him for the Golden State Warriors, not drafted, Gary Payton II. Number 2, from the Thunder, Luguette Dort from Arizona State, not drafted. And the number 1 player in the NBA last season that's not drafted, he made the All-Star team selection. He averaged 20.3 points per game. He's the ultimate party crasher, just like Scott Mitchell, Freddie Van Fleet.
Oh, Van Fleet, that's right. Yeah.
Freddie Van Fleet, undrafted, 2016 out of Wichita State. So the learning point about that, everybody saw him play. I mean, you just can't say, well, he played at a really small school. He played at Missouri Valley, Wichita State, not drafted. And speaking of not drafted, I have a quiz, quiz for you guys.
All right. Bring it
quickly.
On, Coach. Let's do it.
All right, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
This is about it's the first two about ownership of an NBA team. What singer, actor, and sports fan owns 1% of the Cleveland Cavaliers? I'll give you a hint. You know some of his songs. Burn, Love in the Club.
Oh, my heavens. No. This is this is Usher. This Usher. Is your guy, yeah. Usher, Coach.
My guy, Usher. Exactly right. Scott, what singer, actor, and sports fan owns 3% of this NBA team? He's a native son of Memphis. I'll give another hint. One of his hit songs was Can't Stop the Feeling. Another hint. He's married to Jessica Biel.
Oh, Timberlake.
That's exactly right. I love
Justin
it.
Justin Timberlake.
I love it.
You should have started with that clue.
Oh, you're right. You know something, Scott? How dumb is Gordon Chiesa? That guy is dumb.
Think you know, Gordy. You think you know.
Oh, I love that line.
Of all the clues that Scott could have used, that was the one that got him over the edge. That's good.
I love it. All right. Who is the only undrafted player in the NBA in the modern 1980 era that's inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame? So who's the only guy that's undrafted the 1980 on era, so the last 42 years, that's in the Hall of Fame?
Mm.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
He's a defensive player.
Oh, so I was going to say.
He's inducted in 2021 into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Mm. I don't know, Coach.
All right, one more hint.
Is that okay. Rodman?
You're close. Oh, no,
oh.
You're close.
Oh, was it John Sally?
No, you have the right team.
Oh, okay, okay. Hold on.
Ben Wallace.
Oh, that's right. Speaking of defensive players of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who made the NBA first three-point shot ever back in October 12, 1979?
Oh, that's when the three-pointer was put in, 1979?
Yeah. The first ever. Who's the name of the player? I'll give you a hint. In the same game, this guy made it the first three-point shot. It was Larry Bird's first ever professional game.
Oh, 79.
Was it?
Give me a team. Oh, it was Larry Bird. Was it Chris Ford?
That's exactly right. Chris Ford.
Look at that.
Oh, that's a good trick.
When you say
question.
It was a Celtic, because he was a Celtic guy.
That's correct.
Okay.
Alex.
Yes.
What is the state capital of Maryland?
Boy. Oh.
I know that one.
Is it
come on.
It's not Landover? What is it? Oh, Annapolis.
Landover.
Is it Annapolis?
No. I'll give you a hint.
Annapolis.
I said it.
Annapolis. Yeah. Okay. That's correct. Oof. All right, Scott. What is the capital of Iowa?
Capital of Iowa? Des Moines.
Yes. Des Moines.
Des Moines, right?
Yeah.
Scott says
last question.
I was being funny with
that. Yeah, let's hear it.
What legendary NBA player was nicknamed the Big Dipper?
Ooh, is this for both of us? Can I jump in?
It's a collaborative.
Yeah,
okay.
Collaborative.
We also called him the Wilt the Stilt. It's Wilt Chamberlain.
That's exactly right. And you know the reason why they called him the Big Dipper? Because when he walked into a room, he just had to dip his head to get under, under the room.
I'm glad it was that. That's what I thought it was.
I'm glad it was that.
So the Big Dipper.
There you go.
Big Dipper.
I'm impressed. You guys' knowledge is overwhelming. I feel like the person that's so far behind academically.
Well, Coach, this is like a build us up kind of quiz.
Yeah. This is one of the more
difficult. Don't make it hard on us. We look stupid.
This is one of the more difficult ones you've given us, Coach. So
there's no trickery in Gordon Chiesa.
All right. There you go. Coach, we appreciate it. Enjoy your week. Next week, we're going to dip in. We'll do the Big Dipper with you, and we'll jump in one last time before the summer. Hopefully, we've got a bunch of news next week to jump to
break
down with you. There you go, Coach. All right. Whew. The Big Dipper. People didn't call Wilt Chamberlain that. They call him Wilt the Stilt. But I remember the Big Dipper one because of, if you read his biography.
Uh-huh.
All right. We'll take the break here. Unrivaled continues, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Attention. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. I get these breaking news alerts for certain things. Anything locally here, like sports-wise, I get them, right? I get like a little thing that says, hey, this tweet was sent out. Check it out. Of all the moves that the Jazz are making this offseason, you could become a new member of their dance team. They're going to have dance auditions, okay? Yeah. It's for the jazz dancers.
I would go to every single Utah Jazz game if you were
a dancer. If I was a dancer.
If you were a dancer, I'd go to every game.
Here's the thing.
You know what? I would pay to be on the court.
They have courtside seats?
Front courtside seats.
I would love to say that somebody on the jazz dance team would be able to hook you up with something like that, but I don't think that's the case. I will say this. They do have dudes now, though. It's not just open for the ladies now.
Well, of course not.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Free country we live in.
No, I know, but I'm over the past, I don't know, three or four seasons, you've seen some guys worked into the mix. So I'm just saying there's a lot higher chance now.
Can you dance?
I actually can.
Oh, I knew you could. There's just something I just said, Alex can dance.
It's the hips, bro.
Yeah.
I got the hips.
Yep.
Some flexible hip action.
Yeah. Yeah, I would pay for
some FHA, some flexible hip action.
I would pay for that.
You want some? FHA? You can't handle this flexible hip action. I feel like at any I mean, at some point I'll probably get hurt, but no, I can twerk. Isn't that what they want?
Yes.
I love when they do I love when they do the wardrobe change. That would be the hardest for me. I'm like, I can't get these shorts off. Come on, this is third quarter. We need you to get into the purple's part of the color scheme now. You need to get the purple shirt on.
Did
now.
They change?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They'll go out.
How do you know? Come back. How do you know the dancers
because
changed?
Because I've been to jazz games.
Oh, so you sit and watch the dancers all the time?
Well, no, people. When they walk out, I don't go, oh, the dancers are here. I'm out of here. I stay for the dancing. I'm here for the dancing.
You want to dance, don't you?
You're darn right. I record it. I'm like Cosmo. I start getting into the whole, I start getting into the whole thing.
See, I thought I knew everything about you until today.
Yeah, my wife's
today actually tells me everything
My wife was an actual dancer, you know, in high school and stuff. And so she's like, I would embarrass the heck out of her. That's kind of that's half the reason I dance is just to embarrass her and to entertain you. That's what I'm going to start doing. Weekend Warriors brought to you by Tim Daly Nissan and Murray. Home of the auto warranty that doesn't quit. It's endless. It's perpetual. It's the forever warranty. Tim Daly, Nissan, and Murray. So I watched a couple things here. Weekend Warriors are the people who won the weekend here for us. I would have given it to the Jazz, but they made no moves over the weekend. No hires. And the rumors are just still rumors about all the moves that are going to be made in the offseason. So let's see. Andrew Mickelson, who is a name that's familiar to a lot of folks in the BYU football world, former kicker, is apparently now a mixed martial artist. And I watched this entire video of Andrew Mickelson. I would never have thought in a million years, who was in the octagon and absolutely in 40 seconds demolished this dude and has now moved his MMA record to 3-1.
So just the fact that it says kicker and MMA.
And he knocked somebody else out.
And he actually knocked someone
yes.
out. Like, I don't know that sentence is actually this is what you would see on April 1st.
Right. When no kicker is a bit. But see the thing
is just I'd like to see who he beat.
I love that. Oh, you should see that this guy
well,
looks
actually they can kick,
taller.
Right? You can kick in MMA.
Yes, but it was but that's the irony too is that no kicks were thrown on his part.
So you can kick
it was all
you
punches.
Can pull hair and you can
no,
scratch
you can't pull
and
hair.
Claw and do
no,
all that kind
no,
of stuff because
no, no, no.
that's you know what
you
a
can
kicker
choke
might
out.
Do.
You can choke out. When they said former BYU kicker.
You can choke out. You can choke out. What does that mean?
You can choke out. That's what it means. You choke.
Well,
you
just grab him by the neck and.
Is Wayne Brady going to have to choke another person? No. Andrew Mickelson, when they said former BYU kicker knocked somebody out, I clicked on the link fully expecting it to be
total
Justin Sorensen.
That's clickbait right there.
Sorensen was like he got to BYU. He's like, yeah, kicking's cool, but have you done, have you squatted 700 pounds? Because I'm going to do it. So I thought it was going to be him. No, it was Andrew Mickelson. So there you go. And then next up, very quickly here, Scott.
Tom Hackett. Could you imagine him in MMA?
He's got the tats for it.
Yeah.
Let's get him a neck tattoo, and then I think we'll be there. Former number one overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft, Mark Appel. He is a guy who was in 2013. He was picked first overall. Ended up kind of being just a winding through the minors, gets hurt, rehabs, comes back, and he was called up by the Philadelphia Phillies over the weekend and to make his debut in Major League Baseball after 9 years of being picked. And there he was. He was it was really cool. I love to see stories like that. That's one of those Disney stories. Guy gets picked, gets hurt, winds through the minor leagues, gets called up into the majors.
Okay.
So good for him.
He was drafted in 2013.
Could you imagine sticking with it for that long?
Yeah, it's remarkable.
So good for him. He rehabbed himself to it, and he's a right-handed pitcher. Got his velocity back up above 97, 98 miles an hour, and there you go. He's pitching relief for the Phillies now. All right, take the break here. We'll come back. When we return next hour, Rudy Gobert, the rumors are still churning. We've got kind of the latest on some of what those rumors could be. Plus, throwing shade at Rudy apparently is still very, very popular in the offseason. We'll tell you who is talking trash now. Stay with us. Unrivaled continues. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Scott, that first hour flew by, didn't it? There you go.
Yes, it did.
That's what you prefer on a Monday, right?
Well, you don't want to fly a commercial today, though, because your flight might get canceled.
Why?
There were a lot of flights canceled over the weekend.
What happened?
Delta had over 700 and
what's the deal? Is it all just
it's personnel, it's weather, it's, you know.
Well, we're supposed to be going to Pac-12 Media Day in a month. They're going to have that all worked out, figured out?
I don't know.
Should we do Delta or should we figure somebody else out? Let's do something else. What's everybody else flying? Scott, will you just drive us? You like to drive, actually.
The problem is there's some construction through Mesquite. Slows you down these days.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was laughing about that. Now, there's some construction going on in the corner of Arizona.
So,
into Mesquite, Nevada.
So, speaking of.
I hate that canyon, by the way.
The Rose Bowl.
Yes.
So, we drove to the Rose Bowl.
Dumb move, but go ahead.
And I made it back from Long Beach in 12 hours.
Is that a record?
My kids were like just so
blown
impressed.
Away. Shocked. Yeah. It's shocking. I know I know a bunch of people who made that trip, and there were people who were not as lucky as you were. If you drove an electric car down to California and back, those people were sitting in lines
forever.
Yes. Yeah. So joke's on you. Save some money on the old gasoline, but oof. I don't know. I don't know if it'd be worth it. I don't know if it'd be worth hanging out. All right. Kicking off the hour as we always do here. It's the cut right here at the top of the program. So let's just jump in with a little bit of Rudy talk. Let's do it.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Visit uofuhealth.org. Uofuhealth.org. Let's give something else out here, too. You want to? Just get it out of the way.
Let's do it.
If you're listening this morning, DJ and PK, they gave out, of course, their Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers Play of the Week, a.k.a. the Play of the Weekend. So be caller number 12 right now. The phone number's changed as we moved over to broadcast house. So 801-575-5967. 801-575-5967 to give them the Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers Play of the Week that you heard on DJ and PK today. Be caller number 12, and you can get a nice little prize. 801-575-5967, caller number 12 right now. With an impressive lineup of cars, trucks, and SUVs, no wonder people are switching to Chevy. It's your Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers. I don't know how I feel about people dogging on Rudy still. It's like, I'll wait. If he ends up getting traded or if he ends up getting moved somehow, dogging Rudy is like, I don't know. The thing that's tough for me, there are a couple things that I saw over the weekend and the possibility of a trade for Rudy Gobert is being thrown out there more and more. And I think you said it last hour, Scott, about this is going to be Donovan's team. And for that to really be the case, then Rudy can't be in the picture, I think, like you were saying. So if Rudy Gobert ends up leaving this Utah Jazz team, a post-draft version of these teams that might be interested in him may present the best offer. So the Hawks are one of those teams that are thrown out there, Scott. So they're like, hey, oh, if you wonder who the person is going to be, whether it's going to be, we've just have seen the Mitchell, Gobert, Bogdanovich, Conley, quadsome. Do you call it a quadsome? Foursome. I think we've seen that group play its last game together. That's my thought. I know that's the way you feel too. But if you're supposed to look at the way these teams are put together and what you're going to get back for a guy like Rudy Gobert, the tough thing is moving an asset like that. He's paid a lot of money, which Shaq still keeps grinding on with Rudy. Shaq is still upset that he says, look, I can't believe. So over the weekend, there was this whole write-up about a couple of things he says in an interview. He said, Kevin Durant is absolutely right. Older players being angry about the money that players are making now. He said, do you think that I'm happy that Rudy Gobert is making $250 million? That's what Shaq said. Now, this is my thing, is that guys who played the game, and in Shaq's case, in the prime of his career, $250 million was not a possibility. The money that's made now, guys who played in the league before, they're always going to bicker about. They're always going to say these guys aren't worth it because the money had not gotten to that point. So I throw out these arguments, Scott, that these guys make about, well, Rudy makes way too much money. I was like, no, because the team is paying him that much, that's what he's worth.
But I think the challenge, or to Shaq's point, is if you're going to pay a player that much money, because you only have so much money you can pay out to players. It's not, is he worth it? Is he not worth it? Who cares about that? I think it's just what does it hamstring the Jazz if they pay out all that money to Rudy Gobert? And I think the argument is he doesn't provide very much offensively. And I you watch players, like, he's supposed to be this rim protector, and he is, and I know he alters shots and he does a lot of things. But there are ways to put the Jazz, and it showed up two straight years in a row where the Jazz defensively are a liability in the playoffs. The way the Jazz use Rudy Gobert, it's the people around him, whatever it is. But if Rudy Gobert is worth that much money, then get people around him that can protect him so that his value is used for an entire game. It's really old to watch these players drive to the basket and score over Rudy. I don't see him as this tough, dominant, just like, I mean, Shaq was a pain. Like, Shaq was really a dominant player. And I'm sure that's kind of his position now. Now, could Shaq play in today's NBA with it how it is? On the right team, probably still. I mean, I don't know, but Shaq would be. He's not an outside guy in the NBA. He's not a stretch five.
So wait. That version of Shaq that came out of LSU,
that young, like, version, that, yeah, that's young different version, there.
Well, no, that's what I was going to say. Is that would always work in the NBA, and that guy would play through his rookie contract. The thing is that Shaq is making a weird argument here, because if he was in the league during this time, of course he would get a Supermax. Shaquille O'Neal at his prime, of course he would have the Supermax deal. And Shaq made $297 million in his career. I don't think he got shorted anything, right? But the point that he's making is the money is insane for guys. He went on because Kevin Durant was like, hey, old dude, getting mad about young guys getting paid. Of course it was different back then for you guys. Scott, you bring this all up all the time about the money that was paid to you guys versus what people are making now. You're always going to be able to – we made fun of the fact that these backup quarterbacks were always – that are making $10 million in the league now, and you go – and people are coming at me from my starting quarterback free agency deal that wasn't even anywhere near that.
If people want to complain – if we want to get into a money conversation here, if people want to complain about, like, oh, you guys make all this money today and it's all the older players, you know what I say to all the older players? Then you guys should have sucked. You guys should have just played terrible. You guys shouldn't have been any good. You shouldn't have created popularities. You shouldn't have created interest in this game. You should have been awful. Because that's just what happens in the world, that because you guys were good, because you were entertaining, because you created interest, is why it is today. And the reality is you should say, well, you know what? I want ownership in all of this then. If I'm going to be a foundational part of building up something, give me some ownership. And that was dumb on your part, right? I mean, you should have negotiated better back in the day. You should have been more visionary. You should have seen more.
Right.
But don't sit here and complain about how it is. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me how it is. I blame my parents, and I'm not going to blame Shaquille O'Neal or anyone, you know, any player today. Good for them.
So he brought up – so Kevin Durant, you know, obviously said, yeah, these old guys complain about how much the young guys are making. Whatever, dude. Don't care. And he said, yeah, you know what? We are grumpy about it, because there are guys now that shoot 23% from the field and make $30 million a year. And then there were guys – and he put it – I think he said Dennis Scott, somebody who he played with at in Orlando, shot 40% from three in his career. Over his entire career, he shot 40% from three, made like $8.5 million total in his career.
Who cares?
Right. So I mean, he gets mad about that. He goes,
I just, yeah, I don't. Look, let me just bring out a point about Rudy that just hit me in my head right now. Think of all of the playoffs the Jazz have been in, and think of a player like Luka Doncic, mm-hmm. who kind of put Dallas on his back, right?
Yep.
Or Ja Morant. Or, you know,
these singular
Steph Curry's.
Right.
Or
these
or
obvious...
even Draymond Green, you know, yes. these players. Have you seen in the playoffs a performance from Rudy Gobert that you said, you know what, he carried the team on his back. Right. He was really a dominating person. He changed the trajectory of the game. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't recall that ever happening. Mm. I don't recall where you go. What I recall is teams go, we're gonna negate Rudy Gobert in the playoffs. We're gonna make him ineffective in the playoffs. I think that was the Dallas Mavericks game plan when they played the Jazz. Like, Rudy Gobert is not gonna beat us, and he didn't. And I don't think any. You know, I don't think anyone else felt like, you know, you don't sit here and go, gosh, man, this guy is just killing us.
Right.
And I hear coach, you know, talk about, like, yeah, amen. I'd love to have a rebounder on my team.
Right.
But is he a $250 million max guy to be the best rebounder? I mean, line up the guys to do that.
But the answer is yes, because they've already paid him that.
Right.
So
the bottom line, Alex,
it is going to be hard to move a guy like this. It is going to be hard to move a guy like this. Because that amount of money is always going to be tough to
overcome.
Right. I mean, there are teams
out there that are designed differently that Rudy Gobert would be amazing for.
Right.
It's just not the Jazz. So if there are teams out there, if there's the possibility of creating a team where Rudy Gobert fits, then why trade him? Why not go get those players? Why not change your roster? And I just think the Jazz, I just think they were short-sighted. I think they thought they had a good team. I just don't think they saw how things have just changed in the NBA.
Where you
just
it's
this smaller ball. It's these lankier defenders who can defend multiple positions. That they're stretch players. They can score. And the Jazz just aren't built that way.
Let me bring up another gripe that another former player had. Okay, Tracy McGrady happened to throw out Rudy's name when they were talking about guys who are going to be available as or the possibility of being trade pieces, you know, going forward. Just this is across the entire league, and Tracy McGrady brought up Rudy Gobert because the Lakers came up. Well, what about Rudy Gobert going to the Lakers? He could help the Lakers. And Tracy McGrady said, no, he doesn't play. Yeah, he's a great defender, but he has zero offensive skill. And then he said, I don't know what is going on with this guy. What the F is he doing during the offseason? What's he doing in the offseason? This is the whole theory you have here. Like, can we get that baby hook?
Right.
I mean,
we're talking about Shaquille O'Neal, right? Can he play today? If you put four guys out on the perimeter, out on the three, and you had Shaq underneath the basket, and you just said, so that would give you the maximum space you possibly could have for him to work. And then you dump the ball into the low post. Who guards Shaq?
Nobody.
One-on-one, right? Yeah. So then the option is to double-team him. And then what happens when you double-team him? You kick the ball out and you have an open three. I mean, if the Jazz had that capability, like if they could put Rudy Gobert in the low post and he could actually score, then what the Jazz are good at is shooting threes. And because they certainly couldn't find a way to shoot threes against Dallas in the playoffs. Like they took away the three. And so all you got to do is if he could have, I totally agree with, and I joked about it, but I didn't joke about it, about the sky hook. Like find some offense, find something you can do.
Well, and that's what he kept going with. And I immediately thought of you when I saw this whole appearance that he did on a podcast. And I won't play it just because there's so many bleeps and blaps and blopes, right? He said, listen, this is Tracy McGrady. What the blank are you doing in the offseason? Straight up, like, what is your workout? I love that, the idea of, like, show me what you're working on. He said, I was so mad at Rudy playing against the Rockets one year, and Chris Paul was guarding him in the post. Chris Paul was guarding him in the post when you have a mismatch like that, I was mad as blank. He couldn't do nothing. Nothing. Bro, you 7'2", and a point guard is guarding you. You have no moves. What is the problem? And then I went, oh, boy. And so then there's that part of me. We laugh because we go, ha, ha, developing a baby skyhook. Come on. And then everybody's like, well, maybe not that, but really, what is your – how are you getting better on offense? And maybe when you talk about Coach Chiesa came on, what did he say about Rudy or any big man up in the middle? It's catch high and finish high, right?
Right.
In Rudy's case, if he doesn't do that at all, there's no points being scored. Like,
no.
It's insane when he tries to put the ball below his waist, and then every person is stronger than he is suddenly, right? When you say, Rudy, what have you done in the offseason? He has definitely gotten stronger. He has definitely improved in a lot of different ways in his game. But nobody – but I think that people have been – we sort of consign ourselves to the fact that Rudy is just not a scorer. That's fine. Not a scorer. That's not what he does. He's a defender, man. 15-15. That's what you got for him. Every year, his points and rebounds have gotten better.
So we get offended. We feel bad when they have the All-Star game and they go, because clearly coaches in the NBA see the value in Rudy Gobert.
Right.
He gets, right.
I mean, there's but in an All-Star game setting, it's like, this is for show.
But all the players on the they go, he's going to be the last.
I don't want him. That's because – no, but in that case, it's because that game is not for that.
Right.
They're trying to screw around. They're just trying to have fun.
But if you were a center that actually had some offense,
yeah,
you wouldn't be voted last in the All-Star game, even if you were a low post player and you had some game.
Do you think you just don't like him personally either? There's like a little bit of that too. The only way that he gets picked before James Harden is for them to clown on James Harden.
The 1992 Dream Team. They didn't like Isaiah Thomas, who was a great player. I mean, a Hall of Fame player, and they go, we don't want Isaiah on our team.
Oh boy,
none of us will play.
Wasn't Chuck Daly coaching on that team though?
But right, so Chuck Daly goes, well, I can have Isaiah Thomas,
and they go,
and nobody else, and a bunch of college guys, or I can have Larry. I don't. Larry probably play, but Magic and Jordan and all of them. He says I'd rather have all those guys.
Johnny Stockton would show up too. He didn't care. Yeah. He'd be there. Karl Malone probably would, too.
By the way, John Stockton was a dirty player, too.
I don't think anybody refutes that. Everybody knows.
No.
They're like, who is just an absolute weasel on the court?
They're all dirty players. Let's come on.
You can't have the most steals in the history of the NBA and be a clean player all the time. Come on.
It's a very competitive, tough game. You have to be a tough player.
The interesting thing is that I think he owns that. He's like, yeah, okay, got it. All right, let's take the break. We'll come back. When we return, got ourselves a little bit of a discussion of some college football. We have our college football countdown coming up in just a little while as well. But, yes, is Rudy Gobert going to be a part of this team going forward? When other people are making fun of him in the offseason, when Shaq saying he shouldn't be paid this much money, don't care about that. Tracy McGrady calling him out for offense. Now, that's something that I go, now, what is happening? What is happening there? Let's take the break here. We'll come back. What bowl game could be waiting BYU in the offseason? We heard a little bit about that at the BYU football media day last week and about how ESPN could be shifting some things around if BYU does well enough. But if you're a BYU fan, which one of these bowls that we're going to be listing off next would you want to see the Cougars play in? We'll come back, talk about that. Much more to go on the program. Stay with us. Unrivaled continues. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Unrivaled continues, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for hanging out with us. So there are a couple things that are in there. The next hour, I want to throw something out there. There's all sorts of stuff. Anything that Donovan Mitchell does, everybody wants to speculate about, right? And so there are a couple things where anytime LeBron works out, there's a video of him working out, right? But he was working out in New York, and Donovan happened to be there. Everyone's like, oh, Donovan Mitchell training in New York City with LeBron. Obviously, there's something they're going to try to do here. Settle down. All right. Could you imagine if Donovan Mitchell ended up at the dadgum Lakers? I mean, just like throw everything away that had Mitchell written on it, right? That's when you burn a jersey. Go chase something with LeBron and that broken team in a Lakers jersey. That's the quickest way to your fandom hating you at some point. But all the different speculations as to where Donovan Mitchell could be heading, most of it begins with he had a sandwich with somebody, which I can't stand. Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. I saw the picture of him and LeBron in New York, and I just can't stand. What about the other nine guys standing around? Are they all going to suddenly be on the same team with LeBron because they're in the same workout room as he is, the same gym he is, shooting hoop with him? Come on. Does it shock you that Donovan Mitchell is in New York City, Scott? The guy freaking is from – he's from New York. Oh, he's taking batting practice with the Mets.
He's from Connecticut.
Well, but I'm just saying. Oh, he's taking batting practice with the Mets. He's going to be a New York Met. I was like, obviously, the guy's dad works for the Mets, and that's where we're at. Why can't we just be like – I mean, every place you've ever gone during the offseason, Scott, people didn't go, oh, Scott Mitchell's going back to Utah to play. He's going to play back for the University of Utah again. Reports are that Scott Mitchell – isn't going to be a Cincinnati Bengal next year because he was in Utah this offseason. I was like, come on, get out of here. I don't know. I just don't buy into all the – these guys all hang out. And if they're friends with people, I don't care. Hey, we're going to go out on the road, Scott, this week. Is there going to be some food that we're going to eat too? Are you going to be a part of this?
This weekend?
R&R, but not this weekend, just this week. Oh. Thursday, I think.
Well, of course.
We're going to be at R&R Barbecue. In Midvale, it's 7171 South Bingham Junction Boulevard. We're going to be there at 3 o'clock on Thursday, and we're going to vote for our favorite sauces, and you can too, that are going to be available exclusively at the Days of 47. All right? So food prizes and more, R&R Barbecue in Midvale. That's where we're going to be on Thursday. Join us on Thursday. Scott, over the weekend, when I was looking at this, I was looking at all the different places BYU could end up. And Utah could end up. I want to find a place where the two will end up meeting one another during the years that they're not playing each other or into the future, okay? The bowl games that BYU could play going forward just for this season, and you can go over to KSLSports.com because this is one of the things that Tom Holmo brought up at BYU Football Media Day so heavily was this, just like what the future is going to look like. And everybody wants to know what's the bowl situation for BYU this year. ESPN is going to be flexible, I think. I mean, and here's what Tom Holmo said. It's going to be open through the season. We'll have conversations with ESPN. They will give us feedback during the year, and we have to be ready to take on any bowl that they'll give us, and we hope that it's a great one. Now, obviously, a great bowl depends on how well they're going to do this season. If they're a 7-5 team, we'll see in the Hawaii Bowl. We'll see in the Gasparilla Bowl. We'll see in the fill-in-the-blank bowl, right? But here are the actual games that could be on the docket for BYU, and it doesn't look good. Unless you're winning 11 games, the options are pretty limited right now. So this is another reason you give a big, giant middle finger to independence when you're done with it, okay? The New Mexico Bowl. What's sad about this is BYU's played in this bowl before. They played UTEP, I think, back in 2010 in the New Mexico Bowl. They won that one. Don't worry. The Frisco Bowl, okay? Don't do this, Jeremy. How dare you? The Myrtle Beach Bowl. Hey now.
Not too bad.
it gets a meh out of Mitchell. What's going to get Scott out of bed for a bowl game?
Well,
none of these.
I have, some of my
got some family over there.
My kids live back there. I'm actually going to Myrtle Beach here in a couple weeks.
Can I describe?
Do you want me to do some scouting?
Yeah, but can I tell you to be careful when you're
I
over
think
there?
Myrtle Beach is kind of weird. I think it's weird that there's a college there. I think it's weird that there's a bowl game there. Myrtle Beach is about as touristy and kind of tacky a place as you could possibly get.
Lots of golf courses.
There's also a lot of miniature golf courses.
So, okay, this is from over the weekend, by the way, in Myrtle Beach. For the first time in 2 years, they had a person dragged into a pond and eaten by an alligator.
It's true.
This weekend.
In not a very big pond either.
I know. What I hate about this is they go, it's the first fatal attack of a human in Myrtle Beach since 2021. I was like, oh, come on. That was last year. It's not like since 1974.
I think people don't realize that, like, this is South Carolina. I think people think of gators in Florida.
Yeah, that's it.
They don't think there are alligators actually
the most
other
alligators,
parts of the country.
Yes, the most alligators I've ever seen were in South Carolina. Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And they're on golf course and they're like, there's Big Mike. You want to avoid him. And, okay, bottom line is Myrtle Beach.
So Myrtle Beach wouldn't be a good place.
Myrtle Beach Bowl.
For a bowl game.
We'll go to that one.
Yeah.
Boca Raton. That's in Florida. They played in that one before. The
Hawaii
Bowl.
Not as many alligators in Boca.
No. The Hawaii Bowl. This is one they've also
participated. See, why does everyone poo-poo the Hawaii Bowl? Like, is it because it's Christmas Day?
I think it's either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, typically.
Who cares? I mean, look,
you can do anything once, right?
You get to a point in your life where Christmas is a vacation. It's no longer the, you know, whatever.
Scott, let's go
somewhere warm for Christmas.
No one is poo-pooing the Hawaii Bowl because of its location necessarily. I mean, the game is played. If it's played at the actual Aloha Stadium's garbage. So there's one thing there. But they don't use that anymore. I think it's been condemned. So it's like your mom's trailer.
It felt condemned when I played there in the 80s.
I know. So the problem is like, if you're in the Hawaii Bowl, you play teams like Hawaii who were 6-7 last year and they were in the Hawaii Bowl. Losing season, they go to the Hawaii Bowl.
Well, aren't all of these bowl games kind of that?
Right. That's what I'm saying. But that's why the Hawaii Bowl is forgettable, is because you typically get like a 6-6 team going there. And it's a 6-6 team not from a big conference either. You're playing a 6-6 team from a G5. That's what the Hawaii Bowl is. The Gasparilla Bowl, kind of same thing. Some ACC, Notre Dame, SEC tie-ins there to the Gasparilla Bowl, but most of the time it's an AAC team or some G5 team that you're going to play against. Here's the more important thing, okay? The Big 12, once BYU gets there, here are the tie-ins. Sugar Bowl, obviously, okay, with the SEC. So if you're a New Year's 6 team, the Sugar Bowl is on the docket for you, okay? If you're a BYU team going forward in the Big 12, okay? The next one is the most interesting to me, and you, Scott. You've been to this bowl. It's the Alamo Bowl down there in San Antonio.
Yes.
Not a great place. Speaking of touristy, hacky places.
I like San Antonio.
Stop it.
For the time you're there,
right.
it's fun.
As a native Texan, I'll say we don't like we don't like San Antonio. Right, Jer? San Antonio's kind of lame.
A bit overrated.
Yes. The Alamo Bowl, though, is a good bowl. And the Alamo Bowl is the one that you're going to be tied to the Pac-12 with. Count down the years to when BYU and Utah both. Now, you got to be pretty dang good. This is the second Pac-12 bowl, right? Behind the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Or a college football playoff bowl. So
it's a nice consolation.
It's a good bowl. Yeah,
it's a good bowl game.
So the Alamo Bowl could be a place that BYU.
They actually have good food in San Antonio.
It's Tex-Mex. That's what we call it.
No, I had other food that wasn't Tex-Mex. It's pretty good.
Well, so the Alamo Bowl is BYU fan and Utah fan, if you want to see this game being played at some point, that's where you're going to see it in the offseason. You could see BYU and Utah playing one another, and that's one of those that they will line up because they'll say, look, if we can get a built-in rivalry game on a bowl game, amazing. And I'm not just talking about
That's the thing, I think, when you look at bowl games in the future, that will draw heavy for selection. I mean, if you're the Alamo Bowl and you go, I can get BYU and Utah to play each other.
And that would mean they'd
whatever
have to
be, bowl game that is, yeah. that would be pretty
in
significant.
In the Alamo Bowl's case, that would mean they'd have to finish second in the Pac-12, at least. And then in BYU's case, they'd have to be finish second in the Big 12, which would be awesome too. Now, question is how far down the line?
It's not always necessarily the second place team.
Right, you get the college football playoff.
There's not only the playoffs, but the bowls kind of have a little bit of discretion. you know, the more important bowl
so
games.
Maybe they'll take that third.
So they
place
could,
team.
If they thought there was a really good matchup and they had an ability to do it, they'll potentially do that.
Hey, can you play in the Holiday Bowl? Because we kind of want to get BYU and Utah in the Alamo Bowl.
Yeah, there may be some of that goes on.
See, I like it.
I just think it would be fascinating to see these two teams play on a New Year's Day game. And the Cotton Bowl, like even this year, is potentially what – now, I don't think Utah could play in the Cotton Bowl.
Right. That's one that – unless it's a – again, that might be a New Year's Six option that they could maybe try to figure out. But again, the bowl committee has to – you know, each bowl has a board, right? And each bowl has to figure this out. By the way, each one of these bowls has a person – has like a president or a commissioner of that bowl who makes a kajillion dollars every year. I mean, these guys are well paid to be that part of that Cheez-It
Bowl.
To
be a part of the bowl.
If you're an Alamo Bowl rep, you're making a ton of money.
I just have one question.
Yeah.
So BYU goes to the Big 12. Will they ever be able to play in the Rose Bowl? If it's a college football playoff.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. I'll just tell you, it's a special game.
Wait to say that. When you saw this on the rundown, you couldn't freaking say
it. Changed
it could be why you get there, because I just want to say something. What an amazing experience it was for us.
It was moving.
You saw Utah football come back on that plane, and they just looked different when they got off.
I got up early this morning. I was watching Pac-12, like, classic games.
Yeah.
And so they had Ohio State, USC, Rose Bowls. From like 1979,
sure.
1980. And just watching it was just like, because you have Dick Emberg. How about you have Dick Emberg, you have Merlin Olsen, and O.J. Simpson.
Oh, my heavens.
Are the broadcast team. Here's some of the offensive guys for USC. Anthony Munoz, Keith Van Horn, Ray Foster. Ray Foster actually played with me in the NFL with Miami. Great offensive guard.
Keith Van Horn?
Yeah. Or... Yeah.
Wasn't he a Utah basketball player?
No, there was another
Van Horn. There's another Keith
Van
Horn.
Who is it?
Did he have tall white socks too?
No, he was an offensive tackle. He's like played in the NFL forever. Right. I don't know if it's Keith. What is his name? Van Horn was his last name. And then on defense you've got Ronnie Lott, Dennis Smith.
Yeah.
No, and here's your backfield. You ready for this?
Yeah, what? Who?
Marcus Allen is the fullback.
Oh, my heavens.
And the halfback is Charles White. So Marcus Allen is blocking for Charles.
For Charles White.
Charles White.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know who was good for Ohio State? Arch Schliester.
Like it was Keith Van Horn. Keith Van Horn.
I know.
Scott, I don't know if you got it right somehow. It is Keith Van Horn.
You guys are looking
now,
at
now, the
me
Van
like,
Horn is like spelled differently. It's like Horn with an E.
Right. Yeah.
Dude, I can only picture Keith Van Horn, the former Utah sharpshooter.
But I'm just like, that's when USC was so good, when they had just all those players.
They
like
have
that.
Era.
Just
they have
player after player. I mean Ronnie Lott, Dennis Smith, and Marcus Allen,
right,
and Anthony Munoz on the same team.
Those are all Hall of Famers.
Some
like
of the greatest players, like
in their positions ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
And Marcus Allen was playing fullback. Wow. And he wasn't very good either. He's a skinny dude.
He was just
he's
young.
Trying to block people.
Yeah, they knew he was good. They knew he'd be good. But they're like, right now you're not the guy, kid. Yeah.
Charles White.
We're going to need you to
Charles
block.
Charles White won the Heisman.
I know.
Crazy.
All right. We'll take the break here. So, hey, BYU fan, mark it on the calendar. At some point when you're in the Big 12, I'm praying for that day. I prayed for the Las Vegas Bowl to happen, and it did. And that turned out to be one of the worst games I've ever watched. Just in terms of watchability on games, it's a zero on a scale of 10.
When Utah and BYU played in the Las Vegas
Bowl? When BYU was down 35-0 in the first 7 minutes. But the game ended up 35-28, but no one cared because the game was over in the first five minutes.
Yeah, but it was
a terrible football game.
I'll give you that.
All right. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. Unrivaled continues, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past for anybody that's ever coached with him.
The Utah Utes headed to the Rose Bowl for the first time in program history. Emphatic champions of the Pac-12 as they hammer the Ducks again. It's the final
countdown. For BYU and all of its fans, it was Big 12 weekend. And after a 12-year wait, it's a big win for the Cougs over their in-state rivals. 10 is not coming.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, our final countdown segment of our college football season here as we get closer. Man, we're getting close. Hanson, Scotty, we're down to 48 now on their 1660. And for the numbers of days, if you're wondering, if you're a Utah State fan, UConn's coming to town in 61 days. BYU heads down to Tampa to take on South Florida in 68 days. Same number for Utah and Florida, 68 days till I don't know, where would you rank that, Scott, in terms of out-of-conference starts to a season for Utah in their history? I mean, you got to play Ohio State at the Horseshoe. How'd that go? I'm saying that's a big game.
That was I didn't play in that game.
That was a big game.
I was just there. I was an observer.
You were just there. Was that your freshman season?
Yeah, I was just out of high school. I was redshirted, but they took me on the trip.
See, but booking that one was a little bit different than booking Utah and Florida now in 2022.
Well, here's the difference, and this is where this is. First of all, there's so much expectation for Utah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in their mind, they're really like, we think we can go to the college football playoffs, and I guarantee you, that's what they're shooting for.
Right.
And this game really sets a precedent for them to be able to do it. Now, is it a deal killer if they don't win? No, because first game of the season and they still have their conference schedule. And you saw what happened a year ago when they lost those games in out of conference games. So it's really important. I mean, if they want to be a big time player and they want to be on a national stage, this is the most important early season game Utah's probably ever played.
I look at this game and I think, man, this is an insane. It's an insane thought to have Utah and Florida. BYU's hosting Arkansas this year at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. That's a big one for both of those teams. I mean, Arkansas is one of those teams that they could be absolutely. It could be even better than they were last year, which was a massive improvement for them last year. They were already very, very good last year. So this is a really, really tough team coming into Provo as well. So. These are games that before on the old calendars.
Don't you think it's kind of sad, though, if you're Arkansas or you're sad if you're any team really in the SEC right now that isn't Alabama or Georgia?
Or even – you're not even in the
– I mean, maybe Texas A&M has been able to crack into that little
– The only reason that they're, like, even in the conversation right now is because of the back and forth in the offseason between Jimbo and Nick Saban. What's interesting is the most important SEC teams right now are who? Alabama, Georgia. Auburn. Right? You
Auburn?
Can throw them. Well, I just mean like in terms of like
LSU maybe.
LSU's on that list.
Florida. Georgia, Alabama.
Texas and Oklahoma are the next most important SEC teams, and they're not even in the conference until, you know, the next 2 years. So,
well, isn't it kind of, this is when you're really snobby as a football conference. When as a conference you're already a snob,
yes.
The SEC.
Yes.
But when you're within the conference, that there's even a level of snobbery,
like a massive hierarchy.
Yes.
Oh dear.
So it's like Alabama and Georgia right now, and they're kind of it in the conference, and then there's I mean really Kentucky and Vanderbilt, no, never, and
Missouri?
Old Miss, Missouri,
Mississippi State.
They have no shot. They're nice. They sound good. They have a history. They're in the SEC.
Even Tennessee right now is laughable. Even Tennessee is laughable in football.
Florida's laughable in football right now.
Okay, so there's an interesting list that was put together of five teams that you should be scared blankless over.
Scared?
You should be scared of. Scared of the South. You ready for this? So
yeah.
This counts down from 5 to 1. Okay? Number 5, Houston. I thought, hey, that's pretty good. When Houston's on the list, they got more talent coming back than any team. They have the most percentage production coming back. And that was a pretty good Houston team last year. Okay? So there you go. You go, oh, hey, that's good for BYU. That's good for these teams that are going to the Big 12. Houston could be in a really, really good spot going into the Big 12. Okay? That'd be interesting for Houston, UCF, Cincinnati, and BYU. They show up into the Big 12 and they immediately become contenders. They need this. The conference needs it. Number four on the list of teams you should be scared of, Ole Miss.
Why?
I wondered the
Lane
same thing.
Kiffin.
Jackson Dart. Is that really elicit fear in the people across the land here?
No.
Now, I will say his offense has increased. Ole Miss's offense has gotten really, really good.
Yeah, and you know there's a lot of athletes in the SEC that are really good.
Yes.
On a lot of teams.
Ole Miss is a double-digit wins team last year.
Okay.
And they could be good again. Number three on the list of teams you should be scared of is USC. You should be scared of USC because you don't know who they are. But they just, again, this is the benefit of just showing up to the list because you're USC. Darling, where could we fit ourselves into the teams you should be scared of? You shouldn't be scared of us. We'll host a beautiful party for you to come to.
Yeah, USC is just so shocking to me because
so dumb.
They were so bad. Like, they weren't very good a year ago.
But maybe that's why you're supposed to be scared of them because
well,
nobody's going to see him coming, Scott.
No, it's Lincoln Riley. And, I mean, they've made some pretty significant moves. But I don't think USC's quite there.
Number two on the list of teams you should be scared of, according to this list, NC State. This is a team that pops up everywhere.
Well,
really, really good year last year. Ended up being way more highly ranked than they've ever been at the end of a season. But NC State's a team, again, that doesn't elicit a lot of fear. No one thinks of the Wolfpack coming out of the ACC, right? I mean,
well, the ACC doesn't really have anyone. I mean, if Clemson's down and you're a halfway decent team, you should be scared of that
Miami,
team.
What about Miami, Scott?
You should be scared of that team.
What about Florida State?
What about Mac Jones? What's his name? Mac Brown?
Mac Brown at North Carolina?
North Carolina?
Mac Jones Brown? Mac Brown, Mac
Big
Brown
Mac
is
Patty Wack. Give that dog a bone.
Mac Brown is one of those guys that you're like, I cannot believe he's still coaching. What a massive underperformance from North Carolina last year. Yeah. They're not on this list because they lost their quarterback and he was supposed to be amazing and he was not last year.
So who's number one?
Number one on the list of five teams you should be scared of? The University of Utah. That's one that merits it, right? I think Ole Miss, I think NC State even to an extent, but Utah, you absolutely should be scared of.
It's one of those things where they just can't quite give it to Utah because, you know, they're not the darling, but you do have two Pac-12 teams on this list.
Teams you should
so watch out for the Pac-12.
Teams you should be scared of implies
they're not that good.
They're sneaking up on you still to some degree, right? Because none of the teams on this list are those A number one programs that are, oh, there's some
blue blood. They're not Ohio State. They're not.
The only blue blood on this list is USC, and the only reason they're on this list is because they were 4-8 last year. They shouldn't even be on this list. No. Do something before you call us, all right? Then we'll start taking your call when you start getting better. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. Next hour, we've got a sucks to be you list we got to go over. People who we can feel a little bit better about our lives because we're not living their lives. So we'll come back. We've got more to go on. Stay right here with us. Unrivaled continues. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Make yourself feel a little bit better by basking in the misfortune of others. Unrivaled presents Sucks to Be You.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You heard the voice. Yeah, they say that what's the saying? They say comparison is the thief of joy. Au contraire. Comparison makes
Who's
you feel
they
better.
Who's they that says that? I've never heard that.
I saw it on a T-shirt once, probably. Comparison is not the thief of joy. Sometimes comparison makes it to where you go, hey, you know what? Things aren't going as bad for me.
Comparison is the thief of joy. Thief of joy.
You've never heard that.
Thief. FIFA.
Three.
FIFA.
It's not the FIFA joy.
Oh.
It's not a soccer situation. It's the thief of joy. So the whole idea is, if you're just comparing yourself to somebody else, you're never going to be happy. Except for if that other person's not doing well, then you go, hey, you know what? Things are good. It's the old theory, Scott, of the reason I like to watch Hoarders. because I look at them and go, man, our house is not in that bad of shape. We're good. We're good.
I think of all of the things that you could have issues with, like just, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, I guess, is hoarding a mental issue?
Yes, or yes, it's absolutely. Like a, no. Every like one of these people, they're like, ever since their doll was stolen when they were a child, they've been hoarding dolls ever since. You know, that kind of thing.
Now I hoard, back to I hoard fishing gear.
Yeah, you do.
But that's it. Like I
that's the only problem I have.
That's the only problem. But it's a problem.
It's a big one. I've been in your garage. I'm like, hey, Scott. Yeah. I'm like the guy on that hoarding show. I come over and I go, hey, Scott, could we talk about these fishing poles? Your family's worried about you. I'm that guy. No, but in this case.
I think they should be worried.
Here's what it looked like. Oh, here's what it looks like here. Okay. Here's what sucks to be. It sucks to be the Brooklyn Nets. And here's why. We have some, a little bit of breaking news here. Kyrie Irving just opted in on his player option. So he's going to be a Brooklyn Net. I don't know. Does it suck to be a Net fan or does it suck to be like, I mean, I think the Lakers were really, Laker fans were kind of crossing their fingers because Kyrie Irving is a lot of things. You know, when you have all the stuff that you throw in there, you go, yeah, there's a flat earth guy. He's kind of, he's a little bit toxic, all these things, but he's a really good player. Westbrook is not a good player right now. Right. He's not good. Kyrie Irving is at least good. And so it sucks to be either the Lakers or the Nets because maybe you didn't want Kyrie Irving at all, but he just opted in on his player option. So he will remain a Brooklyn Net. And there you go.
Kyrie Irving reminds me of Antonio Brown. He's massive talent.
Has a championship.
And there's like nothing should be wrong. And it just seems like wherever he goes, there's some kind of drama.
He finds a way to get in his own way.
Exactly. And you just scratch your head and you just go, oh, just be happy.
You know what sucks to be right now is Donovan Mitchell. And I'll tell you why, because every story surrounds this guy about is like, where is he? Again, like I said, it seems like we're more worried about who he's sharing a meal with. Oh, he was spotted in New York City at a workout where LeBron James was. He had a meal with Jimmy Butler. He's obviously going to be a member of the Heat. So to be a guy like Donovan Mitchell, every person that you're around, Donovan Mitchell keeps company with a lot of famous people, by the way. So every rumor about him going to all these other places, it really must get tired for him. And I know it does because he tweets it out periodically. And he'll be like, hey, yeah, nice information there.
How in the world does any of that? Like, how does that suck? When we talk about first world problems, like, really? Like, oh, my goodness, Donovan Mitchell had a sandwich with someone, or he hung out with someone.
He had a workout with LeBron, he's going to be a member of the Lakers.
It's kind of one of these things where famous people get all annoyed because someone's trying to take their picture out in public, because there's paparazzi, because there's this... people just want to know.
Yeah, sure.
I want the scoop. I want to find out all of this stuff. And yet, all they want to do is have people pay attention to him. Like Donovan Mitchell wants to be the center stage. He wants to be the guy. And all these famous people, they want to be the guy, the girl, whomever they are.
Sure.
Why do you complain if someone actually pays attention to you?
Maybe what
I am a firm believer. I'm a firm believer that there's no such thing as bad publicity. None. I don't care if people are talking about you. I don't care if they're talking about having a sandwich, whatever. I don't care.
Maybe what I should say is this. It kind of sucks to be a Utah Jazz fan right now because all these rumors surrounding Donovan Mitchell could make you insane.
So it's like, not Donovan Mitchell, it's the Utah Jazz fan sucks to be
well,
you.
But it's both. I think Donovan Mitchell to an extent because I think he just rolls his eyes and goes, "Come on." Because then people go, "Donovan, why would you go work out with LeBron?" Because then it gets put on him like, "Well, you're out there flirting with all these other people. So you're out there in New York where you grew up." And watching the Knicks play, or, you know, hanging out with Knick buddies, hanging out with the Mets, hanging out with other. So obviously, but really it is. It's insecure Jazz fan. That's what sucks to be an insecure Jazz
fan. But, yeah. And
and Rudy Gobert. Because no one's talking. Everyone's talking about moving you and talking about how you're going to be gone.
See, that's who I feel more like it really sucks to be you.
Because all the rumors have to deal with him not being good enough for his contract, not being good enough to stay here in Utah. That, all the things is people basically, like you said, you woke up this morning and you kind of in your head have had Rudy Gobert just not being a member of the Jazz.
What's really disappointing about all of this, and if this really does happen, Rudy Gobert gets moved, and if it really is because of egos, like they just can't get along. Like that's what's really
sad.
That's
so weird.
That's what really sucks right there. You see it so often in sports. You see it so often in business. You see it so often all over the place. People just...
egos not being able to make it work.
And we were talking with Gordy Chiesa in the first hour, and he talked about how people, you know, there's a Batman and there's a Robin. And Batman understands his role. I got to be Batman. And Robin says, you know what? I got to be Robin. And a guy like David Robinson...
said, I'll be Robin, even though I'm the all-star. I'm the member of the dream team, but you're Tim Duncan.
I'm a big
deal. I recognize
deal.
Your greatness.
And I know my role, and I know that if I do my role and that I just kind of see the big picture and I'm a part of being a team and what have you, that I know it's going to be the best for us ultimately down
right.
the road.
Yep.
And we just – and that's where it really stinks. You know what really stinks right now?
What?
It sucks to be the Cleveland Browns. Not the Browns, the ownership.
Why?
Because they're
the most of, you said you just got done telling me no press is bad press.
They're getting so much
press right
it's
now.
It's not so much the press.
Okay.
Like they're in a world of hurt. Cuz Deshaun Watson.
It's not going to go well.
Well, it's not that. Isn't it? It's like now what? Let's just say Deshaun Watson gets bumped for a year.
Okay.
Who are you going to play? See, now you got to go back. You have to go back begging to Baker Mayfield.
No, Jacoby Brissett.
No.
My favorite of all the lunch meats, Brissett.
No.
Jacoby Brissett is the guy. They've said it already. Okay?
You have to go back on bended knee and say, Baker. All
Man,
of those things we said,
we
love
really
you, don't
dude.
Mean.
You're amazing.
You know, I had this happen to me once.
As an NFL player?
Yes.
Somebody came back to you and said, Scott, we're in a bit of a bind here.
Yes.
Well, who was it?
It was Wayne Fonts.
Oh, it was.
We're playing the New York Giants.
Okay.
And I throw a pass. A guy hits my arm, and the pass kind of looked funny. And all of a sudden, Don Majkowski goes, hey, you're out of the game. And I go, no, I'm not. And he goes, and so he pulled me out of the game in the middle of a series, like right in front of
everyone. Because he thought you threw a bad pick?
He thought I was just playing garbage.
Okay.
So I go over to the sideline. I'm furious.
Yeah.
I am furious. I'm saying colorful words. I'm hot. So I'm out of the game. So Don Majkowski's in the game for about three plays, and he gets hurt.
Oh, boy. Then they have to call you back up.
And I go, I'm not going in the game. I got pulled.
Oh, you baby.
I'm done. I'm out. Why should I go back in the game?
You pouty professional athletes, dude.
Why should I go back in the game?
I'm not going to go play for you. Because this is what my 13-year-old does.
So Wayne Fonts had to come back over, and he said, would you please go back
in the game? This is hilarious. And did you go back in?
I went back in the game.
Fine.
And I completed a pass, and I got pulled again.
Because Majkowski was feeling better again?
I guess he got better.
Oh, wow. The Magic Man? Did you hate Don Majkowski?
No.
He's a nice guy, wasn't he?
I like the Magic Man. That night, the next day, we had our Halloween party.
That's when you dressed up as Chubby.
But I had already planned to do it, and everyone thought it was because I got pulled that I made fun of
him. Perception's everything, Scott. You've taught me this.
I know.
Sucks to be – I will say it does suck to be Jazz fan more than it probably does to be Donovan Mitchell because you're talking about the, having to come back
more?
To
– does the Cleveland Browns fans or the Jazz fans?
Browns fans.
They have it a lot worse.
It's two organizations who've been kind of close at some point, but never won a world championship. But I think everybody could kind of look and go, no, the Jazz are a way more successful franchise.
So you could
with ownership that actually cares, ownership that has got their crap together – before and continues to. This is a solid
franchise. The Browns are not a solid franchise.
Could you say they make money, they're not. Right. So is look, Jazz fans. At least it's not Cleveland.
At least you're not the Browns.
At least you're not Cleveland.
Yeah. But I will say, too, there's that part where Rudy and Donovan both come back, and then there's the Jazz fan who has to go, oh, we're so glad you're back. But they like wanted Donovan out, or they wanted Rudy out, or they wanted them both out. It's going to come back that you're going to have to just kind of swallow your pride and cheer for a person you probably
want
out.
I think people wonder about Donovan, though.
No, they do. I think they wonder if he
really feels – is he really here? But does he really want to be here?
No, but hold on. This is why
it's
going
a little Gordon Hayward-ish stuff here? And it's like, if we're doing that, get out. Go.
No, but this is why it's interesting, because Donovan, nobody – if you were to ask somebody straight up, hey, who likes to be here more, 10 out of 10 people are going to say, no, Rudy does.
Feels that way.
Right. And then they go, well, which one would you want out of those two? You have to pick one. They'd get the same, like 8 or 9 out of the 10 would say, yeah, Donovan.
Right.
So it's like the guy who, so it doesn't matter. What it all comes down to is who's the person that is the bigger piece of that puzzle to try to win a championship. And I think that it's probably Donovan.
See, and these things you hate because I think of scenarios down the road. Like Rudy goes somewhere and then wins a championship. Donovan stays here. And then he jilts the like Gordon Hayward, and then he goes off somewhere. And then where are the Jazz and where are Jazz fans? That's the scenario I hate.
Continuing our practice of sucks, who it sucks to be currently in the world of sports. It sucks to be not necessarily the Colorado Avalanche. It might be because they won Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals, so they're the World Cup. They're the Stanley Cup champions, okay? And during the on-ice celebration, the Stanley Cup was dropped and dented significantly, okay? Here's the thing.
But that just makes the Stanley Cup better, though.
Yeah, and I'll just tell you right now, too. I think they kept the dent in the Lombardi Trophy that Gronk bunted with, right? Remember the whole bunt that he did?
What are you going to do, take it to like
to Tiffany's? Know, no, they would
Mako
absolutely.
To Mako and just say.
To Mako. Can you hit it with the old body?
I need some body work done on my trophy.
A guy comes around and goes, you want me to fix your trophy? I got the bundle out in the car. I can fix it for you. No. I had that happen in college. They come door to door. Whose car out in front? They want to like fix your dent and they want to do it for cheap. And all they do is bang on it with like a meat hammer.
A little mallet.
Doesn't do anything. You just got ripped off. But, no, they will absolutely. Every year they refurbish this thing. They make it perfect. They're going to put the names on it. They can get the dent out perfectly. Now, the question is, if you're the guy who drops a Stanley Cup, because I was looking at it, and it actually had a big dent in it, okay? So, yeah, I don't know.
I'm actually surprised. This doesn't happen more.
No, I know. The dent on the bottom of that thing is, and here's the other thing, it's a guy who's skating in and he trips on his skates like it's the first time he's ever skated. You're a Stanley Cup champion with a giant dent at the bottom of the Stanley Cup base. I don't know, maybe you.
So for as many people that have like,
hoisted the trophy?
Well, no, so the thing is they put their favorite beverage in the the trophy and drink out of the trophy. Yes. Like the players take it with them.
Very non-COVID. Yeah, everybody gets it for a day
for
or
as many people have done that over the years, why has this not happened before today?
Oh, I think it's been dented.
And especially nicked. Like
it's been
ice
damaged. Yes.
And hockey. And
it's been damaged before.
Yeah.
It's been damaged before.
I think it's actually a term of endearment to actually damage
the
cup.
That's one of those bucket list items, right? Drink a beverage from the top of the Stanley Cup. Hey, would you do it after 9 or 10 dudes have drank out of the Stanley Cup? Just to say, I got a schwig out of the Stanley Cup.
Here's where my mind is.
COVID.
If I win a championship, I think I'd do about anything.
Of course.
Yeah. All of your like normal social cues and decorum, they just go out the window.
Morals. See you
morals,
later.
Every just gone.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I'll tell you who it sucks to be, too. Now, you saw it was Sahith Tigala, who ended up in second yesterday at the Travelers Championship.
Yes.
Ends up having to go. I mean, that's one of those. I do this all the time. When somebody loses out on a payday, if you win a golf tournament, you get almost $2 million bucks now.
Right.
If you lose, you get less than half of that.
Well, this guy, it's not only that, but this guy gets, exemption.
I know.
Like, this guy goes to the Masters next year. There's all kinds of things that happen.
And, it's cool.
And all kinds of events that happen. Here's what's hard for me with Degala is he played to win. Like, you watched him. He was, like, fired up. And he was playing bold. And he goes down that 18th with his driver. Doesn't need driver. Doesn't have a 3-wood because he probably can't hit it.
Nah.
And he's just going and playing to win. And he ends up losing the golf tournament. And it was sad to watch. Like, it was just.
Well, that bunker shot was definitely one that I could relate with.
No, it's
we've all done that shot.
And you just go, wow, the pro hit it like that, you know?
Yes.
And then here's Xander Schauffele, who really kind of played timid. Like, he wasn't out there trying to win this thing.
Yep.
He was just out there not trying to lose it. And it felt like the guy that was playing to win lost and the guy that was playing not to lose won. And it's just unfortunate because I really think Degala was the guy who should have won the golf tournament. Yeah, I really do. He played his way into winning. And he was fun to watch, and he's with passion, but he just
won
that shot.
I watched that bunker shot a few times, and I was like, that is me. When you just smack it, the sand goes everywhere, and you're looking up on the green like, so how close is it to the hole? And you look straight down, it's in the exact same spot, and you go, oh, okay.
I've been watching it about three different times to go, where did the ball go?
I know.
Like, it almost looked like he hit underneath it and didn't even go anywhere.
It just went square into that.
It just went right into the bank and popped back down.
But it just went right back to the same spot, and you went, that's one when you're playing in a golf tournament, you go, no, I haven't swung yet. It's in the same spot. No, I haven't swung yet.
It felt like Tin Cup, where he's just like,
Give me another one. Just chopping at it. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But the real sucks to be you is Michael Thorbjørnsen. He got fourth in that tournament yesterday. And you know what fourth place gets? $614,000. Unless you're him and you're an amateur golfer, so you get $0. You don't get the payday.
Attaboy. Yeah, but you know what? That's the highest finish ever for an amateur.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
Get the guy on the tour, man. That's his Q school. Let's go. All right, we're gonna come back when we return. NFL roundup around the corner. Much more to go here. So stay right here with us. Unravel continues. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Rivaled NFL roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback. And the other guy. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Our NFL roundup coming at you here in just a second. And so the story is, if you're wondering if Kyrie was going to be one of your Los Angeles Lakers, the answer is no. He's opted in on his player option. He's going to be a Brooklyn Net for next season. Not going to be hampered by those pesky New York vaccination laws for next year. So,
but if you're Kyrie.
Yeah.
Do you go, okay, I'm going to go with LeBron, who's kind of aging out, or Kevin Durant? I mean, which one do you take?
KD, 1,000%.
Yeah, I mean, he's got more gas in.
Plus, I think that if you're Kyrie and you see what's going on in LA and you go, I mean, whatever my beef is with Brooklyn, I don't want to go to LA and have to face all that. He might be the third most important guy on that roster in LA once he gets there.
And what's really his beef in Brooklyn? I mean, that he couldn't play last year? I mean, what are the Nets look like with him playing for an entire year?
What's wild is those two teams should be at the top of their respective conferences, and they're both not even close.
Yeah.
Considering the rosters and the amount of money they're spending for these guys, and the Brooklyn Nets are no closer to a championship now as they were at the beginning of last year when everybody had them down. We saw the preseason odds for the Nets, and they're still second best odds in Vegas to win the freaking championship. It's probably better even now because Kyrie's officially opted into his contract.
Have you ever been to Brooklyn?
Yes, I have.
I've never been to Brooklyn.
I think it's one of those things where I'm like, they're like, hey, we're passing through Brooklyn. I'm like, oh.
Oh.
It's not one of these like.
You didn't spend any time there.
No, no. I think it was. No, we ate there. I was like 17.
Oh.
So I don't really. You don't. Well, here's the thing: when you're a 17 year old, and you're there like at somebody like you're just kind of going on a vacation. It's not. You don't really pay that much attention. I wish I would have paid more attention. But it's one of those things you go, oh, yeah.
You might have been too poor to pay attention.
Well, that was for sure. As a 17-year-old, yeah. I had no money to pay for any attention.
It's kind of expensive.
Let's jump into the old NFL roundup here, Scott, since we've got some limited time here. First of all, do you snore at night? Are you currently using a CPAP machine to treat that sleep apnea? Sound Sleep Medical can improve your life. Visit soundsleepmedical.com for more information. The Bengals have now officially sold out of their season tickets. This is impressive because it shows you that fans are just absolutely – they're jumping out of their skin to cheer for a team that's a winner. Think about Cincinnati. You played there, Scott, so you tell me. This is an organization that historically is not very good, but it's also not very organized. It's also not very well put together. Now, they certainly have been to Super Bowls before, but having a quarterback, having a face like Joe Burrow for your team, to be able to sell out for the first time of your season tickets in the last 17 seasons, not a bad little something for Joe Burrow to be able to put.
I will tell you this about Bengals fans.
Yes.
Very good fans.
Oh, they are?
Yes.
I thought they would have been very fair weather.
Very cool setting. Stadium is amazing. I was able to play in it the first 2 years of its existence, and it's a very cool place. I really enjoyed my time playing for the Bengals. But when you have a fan base, I think that's been pretty consistent and consistently watching the team, and to have, you know, for years, I think of some of these other places like, you know, even like Cleveland. I mean, those fans would be amazing. If the Browns were winning, Lions fans would be amazing. And so when you get kind of that, like, you know, we're Bengals fans, but not only that, our team's good, and it could be good for some time. That gets exciting.
It's pretty tough to be a fair weather fan in a city like Cincinnati, a city like Detroit. Like, if you're a fan, you're like, no, there's never been fair weather, so we don't.
Cincinnati is actually a very white collar city.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Fortune 500 companies are located in Cincinnati, so its fan base is, you know, fairly, I would say, affluent,
right.
and actually I think wants to go. You know, it's like something. Hey, we really want to go do this. There's not a lot going on around Cincinnati, Ohio. I mean, really, it's so being able to go to events like this, regardless of how the team is, I think is one of the things that plays into it. Ranger fishing boats, really popular, you know, bass
fishing
boats.
They're built there in Cincinnati?
They're not built there, but their number one dealership is actually in Cincinnati, and it's for that very reason. People who typically own a boat like that will drive. They'll drive to locations, and within a couple of hours of Cincinnati, some excellent fishing. And
look
and,
at you at the boat stats.
Well, no, because I was there. I knew all about it, and so it's a really good fan base. And now to have something to cheer about, I think is remarkable.
Pretty cool. Season tickets sold out.
The one thing I hated about Cincinnati, mm-hmm. though,
yeah,
I hate that uniform. I hate the helmet.
I don't hate the black and orange.
I hate it.
Look, I mean, think about it. You have an orange and
black,
brown team in the same state. And
black
at least
and
we're
orange.
Not these guys.
Black and orange. Come
yeah,
on.
It's Halloween. I get it.
No, it's terrible. It's a terrible combination.
Isn't that Murray High School too? Aren't they orange and black?
Yes.
If you're an orange and black team, like.
But it's not even a good combination of orange and black. It needs to be red and black.
Hey, Idaho State orange. Also,
orange is to orange.
I think
terrible.
I think Idaho State. They're also the Bengals, right?
Thank you.
Orange and black.
Yeah, this doesn't do it for me.
All right. Next up in the old NFL roundup here, Scott. Five scariest quarterbacks next year. What does scary mean? Funny looking? Scared to look at?
Up to interpretation. That's what
okay.
it means. You can take it for what
scariest
it's
worth. Scariest because they could be good. All right, so number one on the list here, according to NFL.com.
Is that like number one is the most
scariest?
Scary?
Yeah, the scariest. Patrick Mahomes still tops that list. Does that surprise you considering that
it seems like that we saw. I mean, obviously they didn't get to the top of the mountain last year. Not even nearly as close as they've been. Seems like they've taken
something feels off with Patrick Mahomes to me.
You think so?
It felt a little off a year ago. I don't know if it's marriage. I don't know if I don't know. But
hey, it's Brittany.
Tyreek Hill leaving. How do you replace that? I mean, it's just. Like Tyreek Hill just doesn't magically fall out of a tree and you go, okay, well, don't worry about you leaving. We've got someone here to replace you. It just doesn't happen. Mm. And maybe they'll still be good and maybe there's a decent replacement, but maybe not. Tyreek Hill is explosive. He's a game changer. He's a guy that can make big plays. And as a quarterback, I'd hate not to have that, but okay. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is certainly pretty amazing.
I wonder if he's listed as the first scary, most scariest, the most scarier of all the quarterbacks. He's 26 years old, also 26 years old, and number two on the list is Josh Allen. Have we been overrating Josh Allen, or is he just still not, we haven't seen anywhere near what he's capable of?
What's scary about Josh Allen to me is how much he runs. And that will catch up to him over time. It just will. And they have designed runs for him.
You don't like it, huh?
I don't. I really, really don't.
There's no quarterback that I've ever heard that you like how much they run. Unless it's maybe like, do you think that Russell Wilson is just smarter about it?
I don't think Russell Wilson is anything like Josh Allen running. Josh Allen is like, I'm going to run and I'm going to run into you. Yeah. And Russell Wilson's a guy that's like, I'm going to run to create more time.
And I'm going to run for 17 yards because you guys gave me 17 yards to run with. That's the only, and I'm going to slide.
Yeah. And other than that, I mean, Josh Allen, boy, throwing the football and there's a kind of a charisma to Josh Allen that you really like and you get excited about. But that running just makes me a little nervous. And it's hard to defend, but it also fizzles out quickly.
He's the second scariest. Third scariest? Any guesses?
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, you got it. Okay, yeah, that's your guy. Now, fourth on the list, I mean, he's a four-time MVP, so I would hope he'd be, including this last year, I would hope that he'd be on the list. Aaron Rodgers, number three on the list. Number four on the list is Lamar Jackson. Now, is it just scary because of the ability to be able to – I mean, he's run for a couple of different seasons. He's run for 1,000 yards. That's ridiculous for a quarterback. That's scary. But that should be scary if you're the offensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens because this guy has been hurt now in his career. This guy is scary because he will get hurt very, very quickly if he does not – calm down the running.
Well,
I don't know. What
he's not as beefy as Josh Allen and his ability. And I think Lamar realized, why do I want to run? I mean, I need to figure out how to be a guy that can sit in the pocket and throw the ball. And I think that's the weaker part of his game, although he's thrown the ball respectable. And if he was a guy that the Ravens just said, we're all in because quarterbacks – teams, if they feel like they found a really good one, they're all in on a guy. And it just seems like they're not quite all in. And I don't know if it's because they're not convinced that he's a consistent passer right now or that with him getting injured running the ball that he's going to be a long-term solution. So his talent is clearly there. It's just can he get a little bit more consistent throwing the football and can he stay healthy? And he, to me, might be the scariest of all of them, if that's the case, quite frankly.
Final one on the list here, Justin Herbert.
No.
Number five. Why not? You like Justin Herbert.
I love Justin
Herbert,
but Justin Herbert has not found a way to make it into the playoffs yet. So it doesn't scare me. Like, the Chargers don't scare me if Justin Herbert can't figure out a way to get into the playoffs. There'd probably be other guys. I mean, Russell Wilson should be on this list of guys that should scare you. I don't know. I don't know that I like this list.
Okay, so who do you put on the list of guys that if you were planning against these guys? I'm assuming this is like, look, if you're game planning against these guys.
I'll tell you the guy who's still tough is Matthew Stafford. I mean, the guy made more clutch plays, And his confidence level right now, because he's won a Super Bowl, and all that's off his back. He doesn't have to worry about it again. And he could be, you know, probably play freer and better now than he ever has in his career. You know, I think he's a guy. And until Tom Brady is never playing anymore, he's always a guy you got to worry about. He just is.
Here's the one for me is the scariest right now. And again, maybe I'm doing this because I actually, you know, he was my guy. He was my Seattle Seahawk. But Russell Wilson's scary because he's in a new situation where he's got to try to prove himself, right?
Yep.
He's in a situation, too, where very rare for him, he got a little bit of negative press, like, oh, it looks like he's a guy who came out and said he wanted a coaching change happen a couple of years ago. It didn't happen.
Right.
Which you're like, anytime guys say that and you become the guy who wanted a coaching change, that's never a good look. So he's going to be trying to kind of improve that image. He wants to prove himself this year. I think for this year, at least. Because I don't know. I mean, he's certainly older. He's more along the lines of Aaron Rodgers' age, right? Not as old, but he's still along those lines of kind of being older than these other young guys. But to me, for this year, Russell Wilson is really scary because he's got this breath of fresh air. He's got Jake Heaps coming over to teach him how to be a quarterback.
I think with that alone,
what
is enough to make him scary? The change of scenery.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Jake Heaps coaching.
No. Just the change of scenery. I totally think has an issue.
Right, because now he's going to be like, hey, I'm going to prove myself to this new fan base. I'm going to prove myself to people in Seattle who thought that my time was over. That I'm old, that I'm too old, that I shouldn't be there. The only people that thought that were some guys in your coaching staff, okay? The rest of us did not think so, all right? All right.
I want to bring something up.
Oh, boy.
The USFL is going to be back for year two, and they're having their championship, I think, next week.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't watch 1 second of USFL. Is that the one that's on Fox? They keep dinging me with all these things, and I'm like, I'm not going to click on you. And what's crazy is that I don't have anything against it. I just found desire to watch it.
I'm so shocked. I tuned in for a brief moment.
I didn't watch one freaking second.
This is interesting. It's kind of boring.
Why didn't you tune in for more then?
Well, I didn't know it was on TV. But it's one of those things that will catch up. I'm just telling you.
It's
on Fox.
Yeah, but they had like 74 people who watched it.
No, they didn't.
It was pretty low, wasn't it?
771,000 people.
I don't think that's a lot.
771,000 people.
No, I don't think that's good ratings, dude.
No, it outperformed a lot of other things on television.
I think there are more people watching the shopping network than were watching that, dude.
There are always going to be more people watching the shopping network. You can't count the shopping. It's not the right.
I don't know what it's going to take for me to actually get on board now.
All I'm saying is
at this point I go, I didn't watch it. It didn't make and my life didn't get any worse not watching it. So there you go.
I have a soft spot in my heart for this place. And I think if they did it right, I think they're doing it right. They're keeping their costs down. They have a television audience and it'll catch on.
How are they keeping your costs down?
Well, everyone plays in the same stadium.
Oh, that's right. I get it. Hey, come to beautiful Birmingham. Isn't that where it was? Beautiful Birmingham?
Mm.
Okay.
Didn't they have the playoffs like in Canton or something? Yeah, they're playing.
And it's going to be in Canton?
Ohio is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Well, I know what's there, so they're going to do it at that little mini stadium where they play the that's dumb.
The mini stadium, that thing's maxed out now. It's not mini anymore. It's max.
It's not very big. All right, let's take the break. We'll come back. When we return, 2-minute drill around the corner. Don't want to miss it. We've got a lot of stuff to just kind of jam into one segment here. So stay right here with us. Unravel continues. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies. Y'all ready? This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, you know what that means when Fletch brings us back from the break. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone. Also means
that we're coming up on the old 2-minute drill here. Scott, you said you wanted to bring some up. What do you got?
I got a question.
Oh, okay. This guy, anytime Scott goes, I'm going to say something, I'm going to bring something up, I go, do it, man. Let's
How
do it.
Much money Ooh. Did Arch Manning get for an NIL deal? Do we know? Has there been any discussion about that? Is it even like, so
we're finding out,
if this is the top recruit in the country, shouldn't he probably get something?
Well, I think he's going to.
I know, but all these other guys, like, it's like.
The thing is they're saying how much they're getting to some of these other places, right? They're all reportedly worth. And maybe that's one of the things that they're like, hey, we're going to roll this out. Here's how we're going to roll it out. Do not say, here's how much money NIL you're bringing in, because he doesn't want to be associated with. And because everybody knows that there's no reason to go to Texas. Come on. Valued at $3 million per year? I would hope.
That's what the Arch Manning is valued at.
It's valued at $3 million a year. Hopefully. I mean, I hope it's a year. Like, if he walks out, I mean, honestly.
That's insane.
Scott, I couldn't tell your face, like, if you were going, I couldn't tell if you were doing, like, the Leonard Fournette, like, he's worth way more than that. Or if you were doing the, because in college, he's going to get $3 million a year.
Yeah. That's insane.
It is insane. There's a guy from Miami who's getting like $9.5 million reportedly from NIL.
And he was like, I think, what, the number two guy?
Yes. So I think Arch Manning. Or if you're Arch Manning, do you play this like the long game where you go, look, I don't need that much money. I'm going to make a ton of money in the NFL. Scott Mitchell said that I'm going to be the first $100 million a year guy. So I don't need all that money right now.
Well,
I'll wait.
Yeah, but it's now.
It's now. You could get both. Why not have both?
His dad should tell you that. His dad got injured. Couldn't play.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Of course, he wasn't a quarterback. He's the only Manning that's not a quarterback.
Disappointing. You know what that music means, Scott? Tell us what it means when we have this music playing this time of the day, would you?
I'll be happy to. Late in the football game, you got to go down the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. You don't have a lot of time, so you hurry. Our show's the same way. Still have a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up, finish the show, go home happy with the trophy, because everyone gets a trophy, because we all participate today. Plus, we get a plethora of desserts, which include chocolate souffle, flan from Spain, and key lime pie, but it's only got to come from Florida. And I won't get into the other desserts because you get all bent sideways.
I don't get bent sideways.
Well, no, because I say, you know, it's better than sex dessert, which is that thing in the glass bowl.
That's not that. Trifle is not that.
I was going to say trifle, which is a different dessert.
It's a different dessert, yes.
They're two separate things.
Thank you.
This is an educational. It's an educational program. We explain desserts
on
this
show. Can you type in on a work computer, sex in a pan? I'm not going to take that hit. Jeremy.
Better than
for research.
It's a dessert.
Do it in the producer booth, and they'll just go. Oh, these
it's
producers.
A dessert wine. That's from Greece.
Oh my gosh! Another Donovan Mitchell story. He spotted dining with Emmanuel Quickly of the Knicks. Oh, what did they get? The calamari? Like, why a meal in the city where the guy grew up? Why it matters. What would be wild is if he was in Murray having a, you know, going to like Costco. You'd be like, why is he in Murray? Isn't it the off season? Go hang out with your family, bro. He lives there. Oh, he was chatting with Emmanuel. Yes, that's the one. Scott's showing me a picture of the better than sex cake. What is it? It's just basically the chocolate cake. It's got the Heath bar crumbles on top of whipped cream. See, I always knew that was it. I knew it wasn't truffle. Or yeah. Trifle. Now you've got me saying it. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, Donovan Mitchell had a sandwich with Emmanuel Quickly. So
yeah, but
go.
What kind of sandwich was it?
That I don't know. If it was a Crown Burger, we got him.
Do you think Donovan's had a Crown Burger?
He better.
He would have to have had a Crown Burger.
Right? Because at some point,
basketball players like to eat junk food. Right,
but they go, somebody at some point had to go, hey, man, right across the street over here, there's this Crown Burger place. They put pastrami on the burger.
It's
right,
a Utah thing.
I'll drive through. All right, fine.
I mean, you think, what was it? Larry Bird? Was it Larry Magic who used to do the McDonald's commercial?
Yes. Yeah.
So you know those NBA guys. They like fast food.
You just go, hey, I want to try one of those crown burgers, and the guy from the team's going to bring it. Boom, lickety-split.
Yeah.
You know what's overrated? In-N-Out Burger. Fine, I said it.
I've found a hack.
What's the hack?
You get
the
In-N-Out Burger.
You get protein style.
Well, you get a protein style, but you get a lot of patties.
It's not a hack. That's just a...
No.
It's a fat guy move.
No, you can get up to 10 patties. They'll sell you up
Why
to 10.
Why do you say no? Like, no, it's not bad for... I know. Well, I didn't know that, but I thought it was 8.
Yeah, and so 4.
So you can get a 5...
Four protein style, animalized or whatever.
Animalized? Yeah.
That's the caramelized onions.
No, I know. It's with the sauce on it. It's called animal style. It's not animalized. Oh.
What
have
I
you
it.
Ever gotten the 8 patty?
No. Oh, okay. I want to do it, though. I haven't been brave enough
just
to
go
it.
Let's go together and we'll split it. Because then I'll get 4 patties, you get 4 patties.
Well, if I got it, I'd want to eat all of it. I mean, that's not
you would not eat all 8 patties.
It's not the point to split it.
You wouldn't
it.
Eat all 8 patties,
I
want to
split it.
Right. So there you go. Let's take the break. We'll come back. More to go next hour. Stay with us.
Animalized.
That's not a word, buddy. All right, we'll be back around the flip side here. It's 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Attention.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Attention.
With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Unrivaled continues, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. I just saw this cross past the old desk here from CBS Sports. Atlanta Hawks and San Antonio Spurs are apparently discussing a trade centered around the all-star point guard DeJounte Murray. Here's the deal. It said it would not involve former rumored Spurs target John Collins. Instead, would be based on a contract guarantee for Danilo Gallinari, multiple draft picks. The question is because the Hawks have been a team that the Jazz have been centered around rumors with Rudy Gobert and the possibility of moving him around, how does that affect that? Do those rumors get affected by that? If the Spurs end up making a deal with the Atlanta Hawks before the Jazz do, is there going to be no place to go for Rudy at some point if you're not going to have interest? If the Hawks had interest and they wanted to put some pieces together to get Rudy and then they go away, who else is on the board?
I wonder if a team puts stuff out like this. Like,
hey, man, we're discussing a trade with these people. Try to get it going,
just
right?
They want to do it with someone else, or they want to up the trade, or they want to get a better deal. And then the other team goes, man, we got to jump on this right now. They're gonna pull the trigger with someone else. If we're going to make a move, we got to make it now and live with whatever it is.
So have you seen this new French sensation that's not Rudy Gobert? The projected number one pick in next year's draft is another Frenchman, Victor Wembanyama, who is 7'2", right? But has a three-point shot.
Does he have the hook shot?
Has some handles. He can handle the ball, apparently. But his length is compared to Rudy Gobert.
Ooh. Uh-oh.
Watch out. Could Rudy Gobert's ego handle another 7'2" French person coming
into
the league?
Could the NBA handle another Frenchman?
But, I mean, think about it. They go, hey, Rudy, we found a guy. He's kind of like you, except for he can shoot the three-pointer, has ball skills.
You know what's interesting about France?
Can't wait to hear this next part.
Like, we're probably not a country without France.
Like
if they didn't intercede on our behalf and become an ally, I don't know that we win the Revolutionary War.
Some deep stuff you're going to get on Unrivaled today only. Right?
Just saying. Funny how things change over the years.
All right. That's it for us. We'll be back again tomorrow. With whatever rumor there is floating out there, we're going to throw it out there to you. Stay with us for tomorrow. For Scott, Alex, our producer Jeremy, hitting all the buttons. We'll be back again tomorrow. It's 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless.
and I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.